Hey there, Joel Radio's back with you. It's Joel Fragamenti here, your host, your first comedian, your MC for this evening of comedy, or whatever it is.
Yes, sir, and I'm back. It's Corey.
Your star, Corey Hall.
How you doing, everybody?
Sucking on nuts. Literally.
Yep. Yeah.
Corey Hall.
Yeah.
He's got nuts. Save yourself. There's mystery treats that I've purchased. I have gone to the store and requisitioned.
I'm trying to get a couple almonds and cranberries in me.
Yeah.
For some vague nutritional value.
Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, what I bought is, I might have bought a food that is the least nutritional thing you can buy.
There's a cavalcade of shit on this.
There is.
Display here.
We're going to get to all that, and there's a lot to do.
I can't decide which one of these items is more harmful to my health.
Well,
they all look disastrous.
The peanut butter M&Ms are nothing. You could live on those fucking things. Like, no. If you were on a deserted island with nothing but peanut butter M&Ms to live on, you'd be fine. It's got your protein. You would live, to be long and live long and strong. The rest of this shit, I don't know.
Really? Peanut M&M's is a formula?
I would think you could live well on peanut. Of all the things out here.
Jack LaLanne lived to 90 years old, just ate a fistful of peanut M&M's
every day.
Well, those
are the peanut butter M&M's. They don't even have the nut. It's just the peanut butter. So, well, if I'm
ready
to. He
was pulling tugboats in the harbor.
I can't wait.
With a strap in his mouth at 79 years old.
I can't wait to eat these Peeps Minis.
Really? I can't.
You're going to keep waiting. No, these are Peeps Minis, which is they're in a bag. They're in like one of these like resealable bags that you see a lot of snacks in now, like a small bag. It's 3.4 ounces, but I guess if that's by weight, that's not a lot of Peeps.
All right, now Peeps, and for those of you outside of the United States.
I'm going to have Peeps somewhere else.
No, they don't.
No, Peeps are an American thing.
I can't imagine any other culture wasting their time on Peeps. Peeps are tiny, stale-ass. Well, they're instantly stale. They're marshmallows in the shape of birds.
They're like sugar-coated marshmallows.
Yeah.
And they're like little chickens. You can get them as like rabbits too around Easter. They sell the bunny rabbits.
Which makes no sense why they're called Peeps.
Why they're called Peeps. But these are mini Peeps because I think the problem with a regular Peep is.
Everything.
But you can't eat a Peep in one mouthful, generally speaking. You have to have multiple bites at the Peeps. So I think by making them mini, they're going to make them easier to eat. Now, they also changed the flavors. These are sour watermelon. They also had at the store chocolate. And strawberry.
Oh,
and
opted for another option there. But.
Well, that's why we're. You feel free to bring those other.
No,
ones
no,
in.
It's fine. I'm not a fan of Peeps to begin
with. And they are smaller. All right, here's your first look.
See.
Here's your first look at it. Now, to me, this doesn't look like it. Corey, this looks like a worm or something.
You gotta get
it?
A picture of that.
it looks like a flaccid penis or something.
Take a picture of that. That's. It looks like Oscar the Grouch's turd.
Yeah, I have a.
Do I got? Oh god!
Yeah, oh yeah!
Oh god!
I have a picture of them.
Oh Jesus!
They look nothing like the picture.
Now remember when I brought watermelon Oreos in here?
Yes, and those were bad.
That was a horrible mistake. Oh, this bag smells like that fake watermelon smell.
Mm. It was not bad. I enjoyed that.
I don't. I
hand him, don't seal them up.
I've come to the conclusion that I don't enjoy anything that tastes like fake
artificial fruit is bad. Are they red inside? I ate mine in one go, and
they are pink.
Well, they're pink inside. There's, I got Corey. This is like a little clit or something. It's like pink inside.
It looks like a little like Muppet turd. It's like really.
You're not seeing the clitoris.
I never wanted to see a green clitoris.
It has with eyes on it with fake.
It's a She-Hulk's pussy. I don't know what that is. You're pounding those away. That's vile.
There's eight about three of these.
Oh man,
I like them. I'm a fan.
No,
I'm a fan.
They have a sour aftertaste.
I'm one of those sour watermelons. It's right there.
God, I am not a
okay.
Well, watermelon is not a sour flavor.
It's generally not, but they make a lot of sour watermelon. Like, there's these sour watermelon Jolly Rancher chews that I bought once that were just truly awful.
Better living through chemistry. Right. There is nothing even remotely like a
what
food
is
in that.
What is... God, I really do have to take a photo of this. because this is...
I mean, it doesn't look like a bird or anything.
It looks like a worm. It looks like a dead...
A snake.
Yeah, like a little green snake or...
Oh, those are hideous. Wow! I mean...
I don't think these are that bad.
You know, our good friend John Tenney...
The birthday, all of those Oreos that you brought in were almost all bad.
You know, Oreos does this thing where every, like, 6 or 8 months they go, oh, we got a new flavor.
Yeah.
And they're usually bad.
Well, I believe...
Because they make flavors that aren't good to begin with. Like watermelon, everything fake watermelon, an actual slice of watermelon, fine. It's fine. It's not my personal favorite food, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. But then you put the flavor, the fake flavor. There's a couple flavors that don't reproduce... Orange is an artificial flavor that's delightful.
We got to turn the flash off.
Watermelon
yeah.
tastes like burnt paint. It's just awful. And then
you're having multiple really lighting scenarios for these peeps.
Look at you, Deanne Arbus over here. You really got to get a good shot on this.
Okay.
Is the other artificial banana flavor.
It's never good.
Never good.
But you get like an orange Tic Tac and that's delicious.
Orange, that's a, strawberry, that's a these are more in the realm of replicable flavors.
Lemon. I would never eat this. Like this whole bag of Peeps is going to take me months to eat.
You just ate 5. What are you talking about?
You'll come back around Christmas, and I'll still be eating these fucking things. But
I doubt it.
There's 24 in a bag, it says.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
we've done a good amount of eating so far.
Here's my theory, though, on the mystery flavors, because we've got more mystery flavors on tap here today.
Yeah.
Is that these companies, I've probably talked about this before, but when these companies put out, you know, chicken and waffle Lay's potato chips, and when they put out cheeseburger combos, which we've eaten on the show, when they put out a turkey dinner Jones soda, which we've also consumed on this show, I feel like it's only just to promote what the real food is. In other words, like if you're somebody who doesn't drink Mountain Dew, but you used to and you enjoyed it, they go, well, the guy's not drinking the regular Mountain Dew. Let's bring him back with, like, wacky Baja Blast or Halo-flavored Mountain Dew or whatever.
I saw that the other day, that Baja Blast, which was the previously only available at Taco Bell.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so. But my point is
that... If you wanted to have Mountain Dew that had just a little bit of scope in it, it tastes like breath.
It was minty?
No, it's got that chemically mouthwash flavor.
But my point is that what they're trying to... They're not trying to sell you the Baja Blast Mountain Dew. They're trying to sell you real Mountain Dew. They're trying to show... This will remind you how good Mountain Dew is. When they sell you the birthday cake Oreos, it's not to make you buy Oreos. It's not to make you buy the birthday cake. They're not expecting to sell a lot of birthday cake Oreos. They want you to buy the real Oreo. They want you to go, these Oreos suck. I want a real Oreo. So, for example, that Peep, did that make you want a regular yellow Peep?
No.
Okay. That one might be a failure. Or maybe that becomes a success on its own. But how many of these spin-off things have actually become real items over time? Very few. They're there.
I don't care for marshmallows in general.
Right. So. But Taco Bell did their Dorito tacos, and those have stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in lines at Taco Bell where guys were ordering those fucking things, and I found it to be a little too much. I was not a fan of those. I think those are sticking around.
I ate those about 5 times when they came out, and now I don't go to Taco. Actually, I did go to Taco Bell last week, but I don't make a run for the border, as they say, very often.
Well, let me ask you this.
But I have not had a Dorito Loco in a long time.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What happened? Is it still a thing? Because I don't know. I don't go there. Maybe you do. Is the McGriddle still a thing?
Yes.
That's still a thing. You go to McDonald's, you get the McGriddle.
That is a regular breakfast item.
That's not... Because I remember that was a fad for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like when I would go in and get McDonald's... I get McDonald's breakfast maybe 3 times a year or something.
Yeah.
It's usually when I have to get up very early in the morning and go somewhere, which is, again, about 3 times a year on my schedule. And I'll get the McDonald's breakfast.
You have to get up
breakfast.
Before 10:30, Joel.
It's not that I have to get up before 10:30. I'm almost always up before 10:30. It's that I have to be somewhere. I have to be dressed and in the public at 10:30,
that
which
is,
I'm not.
I find myself having McDonald's breakfast maybe more than you.
Yeah.
But at most,
is the McGriddle still the hot eye? Is that
it's on the regular
the staple,
menu?
Staple though, it is a staple now. Okay,
I had McDonald's breakfast about 3 weeks ago.
Sure,
because I had somewhere to go in the morning.
What did you have? A McGriddle?
No, I had a biscuit.
Okay. I get the sausage biscuit is what I get there, yeah, generally speaking.
I usually have.
And I'll have the hash browns as well, although I find too many. I used to be able to eat two hash browns, and now I find that that's a recipe for diarrhea, is those greasy hash browns.
In general, I have limited my McDonald's consumption, sure, too. The occasional McDonald's breakfast, maybe six times a year. In general, I do not go to McDonald's, no matter how much they try to make it look like every Starbucks on Fifth Avenue.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing they've done. But
Who are they fooling with that?
I don't know, but I mean, look, if they're going to make every McDonald's can be upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
The interior, the decor of a McDonald's and the functioning insides of it can always be upgraded.
Oh, no, they all look like crap, but I mean, your mascot's a clown.
Yeah.
Who are you fooling with this garbage?
Yeah, I understand. But the McGriddle stuff. But again, my point with all of these things, even Taco Bell, when they introduced those Doritos things, I think they were going, this will just bring people into Taco Bell. We can sell them more of the other shit. So let's try now. Are you ready for this? Is your palate cleansed of peep?
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the incredible.
I'm going to talk about those.
The waffle taco.
Well, yeah, then you can get to the waffle taco, which okay. This is, first of all, Let me be a comedian for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a comedian, but let me be every comedian that's not me. Who thought Taco Bell breakfast was a good idea? Is that for people who are drunk in the morning? I mean, you can take it.
Well,
I mean,
did it on the show when we did the.
Oh, did you do it?
I did a little riff about how the waffle taco was a challenge to the soul of all comedians.
Right. Yeah.
Are they going to joke about it? And two, are they going to eat it?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And they did.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone does. No, I'm in a comedy club most nights of the week, and yes, you hear professionals, amateurs alike, all sharing in the glory that is Taco Bell breakfast. But here's my thing, okay? Everyone needs to shut the fuck up, and here's why. This is why everyone needs to shut the fuck up.
All right, good.
The fucking breakfast, from what I know, and I don't know much, again, this is anecdotal evidence, the goddamn breakfast at Taco Bell is a giant hit.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and complain about it and yet go consume it. Like, to me, that's being disingenuous.
Well, I don't think comedians. Oh, well, okay, comedians are a likely.
Yeah, they're the fucking most likely guy. I mean, the only reason a comedian may not be eating Taco Bell breakfast is they're not, like we
up
said,
at
they might not be up at 10:30 in the morning.
Well, I think they've added the Taco Bell breakfast you can get late night.
Okay.
So you can get that as a
fourth
meal.
Well, you can get some McDonald's now that are open 24 hours. We'll have breakfast, limited breakfast items starting at midnight.
Uh-huh.
They have a joint menu now.
No pun intended.
Where you can get your cheeseburgers and your McNuggets, and if you want a hash browns and a sausage biscuit or an egg McMuffin, mm-hmm, they'll throw that in there too. So
now McDonald's had the chicken biscuit, which was their attempt to knock off.
That's a Chick-fil-A because they have breakfast too.
And I enjoyed the chicken biscuit for a while.
You would enjoy a Chick-fil-A.
There's none anywhere near me.
Okay, I was on the road in April. I was going to Bruce Springsteen shows, and I went in Columbus, Ohio. I found a Chick-fil-A. I also found a Chick-fil-A in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Had delicious.
Well,
Those are northern cities for them. You would consider both of those northern
there
cities?
There are no Chick-fil-A's. There's one, apparently, like at Oakland University.
At the student center, yeah. Well, I'm guessing we'll have one soon, and you'll be able to enjoy that. And I think your bougie Troy is the place where you're going to get one, too.
Well, Troy seems to be like an experimental center.
Right,
like,
it is.
We've got the first Smash Burger over there. We've got Halo Burger.
You got an early Five Guys over there?
Yeah, it was one of the early Five Guys. So it seems like when a fast food innovation, but honestly, I wish Chick-fil-A would not come here.
Why?
Because I enjoy the notion of regionalism.
Yeah.
It used to be when you drove around in America, you'd go, oh, wow, it's a Frisch's. You know what I mean? And there'd be like something you didn't see. If you go far enough south, you get Crystal Burger.
Yeah.
You know, or.
And there's still, but here's the thing. These things will go away and new regional things will pop up. Beer is the same way. How annoying was beer in the 80s when it was like, you know, I think we've talked about this on the show where it's like Coors, and that was the whole Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, I didn't drink beer in the 80s because I was not old.
But I mean, it was just annoying. I mean, well, I was in, you know, my teenage years in the 80s, and it would be, you know, a guy's dad would go to Denver on business and come back with a case of Coors, and it was the greatest time of your life.
Well, it's a plot of one of the greatest films.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Smokey Bandit. But you still have that now where guys, how many hipsters came back from
There's a party in Atlanta.
Seattle.
And the beer's in Texarkana.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Well, let's run through the Jerry Reed filmography while we've got a minute. Actually, that's not. But how many hipsters would come back to Detroit and go, if I could just get a fat tire? Because they were out in Denver or wherever the fuck that's from, right? Or Seattle.
Well,
and they were out there getting this shit. And then you finally get it. And then everybody drinks it. And then it seems like people move on to the next thing. And that's the same thing that happens with fast food. You're going to go, oh, if I could just get an In-N-Out burger here. Because you have it in L.A. You have it in Vegas. And then when you finally get, and we don't have In-N-Out burger yet. But when you get it, and you will eventually, it will become not special at all.
My beer-consuming life, which I've obviously consumed quite a few, probably began around, I want to say, about June 1990. Okay. I don't know. I don't remember having a beer.
And what? Okay. And what was the beer that was consumed in June of 1990?
Probably a Miller Lite or something hideous like that. Like a Busch Light. Now, I don't understand why I stuck with beer, because beer.
Right.
Okay. Maybe I had one in 89. I don't know. Like eighth grade, ninth grade, something like that. Probably not even eighth grade. I was pretty much like a square.
Okay.
I was a kid that was like, I'm not going to have weed. And
yeah.
I remember actually being a freshman in high school and like laughing at these kids who got stoned and being like, you're dummies. That all stopped about 10th grade.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, in my early beer consuming years, it was all shit. Like, it was kegs of Busch Light at a college party that we snuck
in. Well, that's all you could afford.
Or a hotel. This was great. A hotel party.
Yeah.
Somebody who was 19 would check into a hotel. There's a lot of these flea bag motels in Woodward.
Yeah.
And they'd go in there, and then all their friends would come over until they got kicked out by the cops. But I drank nothing but Busch Light and Miller and all this Budweiser and all this stuff that I would not even dare dream now.
Yeah.
So the beer has, in 20 years, evolved to a miraculous. Like, I drink nothing but, like, pretty much. Unless I'm in a situation, I'm in a bar somewhere, and somebody buys me a drink.
Yeah.
Which is a comic, somebody will go, hey.
As a comic, yeah, you're going to go to a place.
And if you're at, sometimes if you're like at an American Legion Hall or something, I'll end up drinking a High Life or something. But like.
What would you normally drink?
I'm saying if I'm drinking
a beer.
If
you're in the bar of your choice, what beer would you drink?
I drink some different beer all the time.
Well, I understand that, but just give us an example.
Well, like craft beer.
But that's my point.
I'm drinking largely, at this point, my consumption is 90% like Michigan craft beers.
Okay.
I'm drinking something from Founders or Shorts.
Sure.
Or, you know, there's a million different.
Yes.
And I try
a new
beer.
That's the point. And that's the same point about fast food is that. But I'm saying as these things develop, what you're drinking today, you won't be drinking in 10 years because they'll be the new fad.
Sure.
They'll be the new whatever that is.
Fat tire is good, but they're out of Colorado?
Yeah, but I'm saying there'll be a new fat tire. There'll be a new, you know, and it's just now happening. It's funny because now, like, cider's a big deal in America.
Mm.
There's 57 ciders now.
Right.
Whereas there was one store that sold cider in a bottle when I was, like, 21.
Yeah.
We had to go to a market that no longer exists in Royal Oak. And they had this giant collection of imports and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could get this cider that was great.
Right.
Woodpecker cider. And now Strongbow's available in the U.S. and all kinds of shit like that.
I don't know what the burgeoning of the beer consciousness. I know Guinness was probably around.
Guinness has always been around. You've always been able to get Guinness. Since I've been old enough to drink a beer legally, you've always been able to get a Guinness. You've always been able to get a Newcastle.
I think Newcastle was one of the early, like.
Yeah, it was probably
Newcastle. I don't know.
And people used to get a Guinness, though, it was a big fucking deal. Like in the early 90s, if you bought a Guinness, you were like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that is.
I remember us drinking, like, Newcastle in 1995 and thinking we were cool.
Right.
And now it's like, now I think of Newcastle as kind of a lame beer I wouldn't order necessarily. You know what I mean? I mean,
but
I'll drink a Newcastle, but.
I have simple tastes in that if a Newcastle tasted good to me then, it still tastes good to me now.
Yeah,
you lean more towards the
esoteric.
I'll try what's hot and
fine. I generally, if I'm drinking beer, there's like 8 million new breweries.
I know,
and I just try new stuff all the time. I lean towards stouts and porters.
Yeah,
That's more. I'm more. I don't like.
Sure, I do. Yeah,
I don't like every fucking thing's an IPA now.
Yeah, I don't even know what an IPA.
An India Pale Ale. Well, I also worked for a while.
I gotta tell you this. I took a guy. I'm not gonna say the guy's name. Mm-hmm. I took one of the comics from the Comedy Castle. Uh-huh. He wanted to have a drink, and he didn't want. He wanted to go somewhere like that wouldn't be like touristy or so. I don't know. I took him to Gasoline Alley. And this guy's from L.A., and, you know, whatever. He went in, and he asked the bartender for an IPA. And the guy's like, I got 57 IPA. And
right.
He was so afraid of the bartender. You never saw a guy more intense. And, like, Gasoline
Alley.
And
those guys are all our buddies.
Gasoline Alley, those are all our buddies. And but I guess this guy, just in asking for his beer, came off as the biggest pussy.
Wow.
Or the biggest, like, you know. Like, the complete opposite of what that bar tries to be, even though they do, you can get all that stuff there.
No, but see, I see a lot of comics, like Paul Mercurio, see every time he's in town, I see him at Gus's.
Yeah, Paul Mercurio is a guy.
In fact, he was
Paul was there last week.
He was just here, and I did TV spot with him.
Yeah, Paul was here.
He's a good guy, but like, a lot of comics will come, that's a bar. Yeah,
right. Well, I took this guy there, and he couldn't hang. He felt very intimidated, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Like, I'm sorry that the place that I feel most comfortable in is too rough for you.
I'd like to take Gilbert to the bar. I'd like to see how that goes. But anyway.
By the way, I guess just quickly I should do this because this is in the news this week. I think I told you this on the phone the other day, but for the audience at home. And you were there when I twisted his arm to come back, or to actually go for the first time. Gilbert's coming to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
God bless
him. And you were there as I invited him, and he has agreed to come. And also another guy that I saw just a couple months ago and was twisting his arm to come. Mick Foley is coming. So.
Wow, there you go.
So, yeah, two guys that I personally sort of got in there. And then Joey Gay is another guy who's not a real famous guy. But if you remember Joey from season two of Last Comic Standing,
hasn't
he's my
he
buddy.
Hasn't he done the show before? Done the gathering?
He did the he's done the Gathering before, and he did the ICP Theater. I helped get him on that. And so Joey's coming back.
I know
so.
You're shocked that I did not watch the Gathering of the Juggalos announcement trailer.
The infomercial?
Well, I did, actually. I watched two minutes of it.
Yeah,
The guy got hit in the head with a meteorite and then went to heaven, and
I
checked out.
I'm going
to
say this quietly, so it's not was not their best work this year. But anyway, let's move on. All right,
there's a big admission.
Oh, my God. How dare you? All right, let's get to what, because we have a whole goddamn, can we just eat these fucking goddamn Doritos?
We're going to get the snacks right out of the way?
Why not?
All right,
what if they're sitting there? And
all right, this is Doritos Jacked.
No, but it's like, again, this is a thing where they've just decided.
Does it have to all remind me of masturbating?
Right, it is jacked. Fully covered in cum.
Do you want to do you want to get Dorito dust on your dick?
Yeah.
I'm spanking it and I'm going to get.
Mountain
so this
Dew.
Is Doritos jacked.
It's Mountain Dew full load.
Oh.
An explosion in your mouth. All right. But
there's the one flavor of Mountain Dew that's like white and creamy. And I call it Mountain Dew man milk because it looks like.
Okay. But
Peter North
filled
those bottles.
Here's my thing with these Doritos. They have these Mr. What is it called? Test flavor?
Test flavor 404.
And they have these now. There's a red, a yellow, and a blue. Now, my theory was that these corresponded to nacho cheese, which would be red, taco, which would be yellow, and Cool Ranch, which would be blue.
I think the colors are all.
They could be a ruse to throw us off.
Yeah.
But here's my point with Doritos is that, again, my whole theory of they're not really trying to sell you these Doritos, they're trying to sell you the real Doritos, is that they've just decided we're not going to tell you what these are flavored. And those, I guess, through their marketing, are actually going to sell better than if they tell you what it is.
Well,
is that? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
They're appealing to the certain amount of the audience that's drunk and goes, I wonder what this flavor
is. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I think your general theory that they are encouraging the sale of, because when you have other brands, you're only cutting into the market share of your core brand.
Yeah, no, but you're getting people who don't normally buy Doritos to buy those Doritos.
Coca-Cola had that philosophy for 70 years.
Yeah.
They said, we sell Coca-Cola. That's what we sell.
Yeah.
And they maybe might have added.
They had Cherry Coke.
Fresca
and,
or some shit. I don't know what they had. Okay. Whatever. But like Pepsi started going, we're going to buy all these other flavors.
Sure, yeah.
And then Coke had to do that to compete.
Yeah.
But originally, for like a million years, Coke was like, all we sell is Coke.
Sure, yeah.
So I think you're right in that they want you to buy the regular Doritos.
They do. They ultimately, at the end of the day, it's real Doritos. Now,
let me get a whiff.
Well, yeah, give us a whiff, Corey. Tell us what it is.
It is an indescribable, somewhat metallic.
Well, that's the bag.
To metallic tomato flavor.
Tomato. Are you getting corn? Are you getting cheese? Because that's normally what you would
get. Well, I mean, the corn, obviously, of the Dorito chip.
Yeah, so you get corn, you get cheese.
I get a little tomato, and I get a little pepper spicy.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm going to like these.
No, you will not, I'm sure.
They're going to be hot? Are they hot? Well, they're jacked. Ooh, they're very dark, rich orange.
They don't have the orange-red. They're a slightly different
color. Yeah, they're pretty orange chips. Yeah. Are they dusty like a normal Dorito, or are they somehow... like a baked, you've had baked Doritos on there, too.
Yeah, there's a lighter layer of dust.
There's a lighter layer of dust, but...
it's not as thick as the normal Dorito.
Interesting.
They're not super spicy.
Okay, that's good. Then I'll have one.
At least to me.
Let me...
All right, you know what I mean? They're not like...
hand them over.
Well, they're not like hot...
I know.
You know what I mean? Hot Cheetos. They're not like that.
Flaming
like,
hot Cheetos, yeah.
The heat isn't all up front. I mean, they're spicy, but they're not.
Yeah, there is. When you take a whiff, there is a... I want to call it a barbecue.
Well, tomato-y.
I'm saying. Yeah, I guess tomato-y covers that.
I'm thinking this is like a salsa.
Let me try here. Okay. I've had enough. These get to go home with you for... thank you for playing.
I mean, they're not good. I mean, like, they don't... oh, now this, all that makes me want is regular nacho Dorito.
Yeah, it makes you want a regular Dorito. That's the point. No, these are some sort of, you're right. It's a spicy salsa jalapeno-y kind of thing.
They're not like blazing hot.
No.
They're not like hot sauce straight up on your tongue. I don't know where they are on the Scoville scale. Joel does not enjoy them.
They're going in the garbage scale is where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like, but there's no reason to eat those. There's no, if you're going to be a fat ass and eat a Dorito.
Well, listen, I bought those.
Yeah.
For the purposes.
Of comedy. And now.
The show, and three chips later, they're done. And Corey, you can take those home if you'd like.
Like metallic tomato. Who wants that? Like.
No, that was bad. Ugh.
I am generally, you know, disgusting. Like as adventurous as I am in beer and food.
Yeah.
When it comes to Doritos, I'm a fundamentalist.
Sure.
Give me the nacho Dorito. I don't even like the Cool Ranch, which is the flavor for girls, apparently. It's the Diet Coke.
It's my preferred Dorito, although I get what you're saying. It is a milder version of it. To me, the nacho cheese and the Cool Ranch aren't even that different, other than one is a lighter version of the other.
Oh, see, I find them vastly different. I don't like the
really?
Cool Ranch, no. I like the regular old-fashioned red nacho Dorito.
Those are, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Formula's never been, improved upon. And then you're right, they keep coming out with one. Hey, fat America, gobble up a mother chip. Boo, here's another one.
If all Doritos tasted like that, I'd never eat the fucking thing. So, again,
but
cool, it makes me want a regular Dorito.
Now, Cool Ranch, when it came out in, like, I don't know when it came out, the early 90s?
The 80s, maybe, late 80s.
Yeah, the Jay Leno with the, try a Cool Ranch. And we remember thinking, Cool Ranch, that's insane, man. Because Doritos came in Dorito flavor.
Right.
I think there was also Taco.
Yeah, and the Taco was sort of an older flavor that it seemed like,
That might have been the original flavor.
Yeah, it seemed like nacho cheese sort of aced out Taco, and then Cool Ranch came along.
Yeah.
And then they sort of brought Taco back in kind of throwback.
But nacho and Cool packaging. Ranch are your basic excuse me, standard Dorito flavors. God, we're having a long conversation about chips. All right, those jacks are not, I mean, nothing about it made me go, gee, I want to put another one of these in my mouth.
That's like going to a party, and someone brought Trader Joe's jalapeno salsa chips, and I would put that in my mouth and spit it out and go, that's disgusting. That's what that reminds me of.
Well,
that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Someone would like those. That someone is not me.
Yeah, they're like puffins.
Don't get me going on cereal.
On the Trader Joe's.
Because I was in the regular supermarket today, the Meijer.
Yeah.
And I looked and I said, you know, is the...
the regular one, you know, for regular people.
Yeah, not the fancy one. Not the hippie one.
Not your big highfalutin fairy business.
That's right. You know what? I went to a supermarket where they give you a bag. Like a fucking man. Like an American.
Do you know in Austin, Texas, you have to bring your own bag? They don't give you bags.
They take everything. I love that you go to a store, They'll sell you 50,000 piles of garbage that can kill you. But that fucking bag, no! Let me draw the line there.
You know how many? You know
that's
how many,
it. No bags.
Okay, I must have bought at least a half dozen of those red Target cloth bags.
Yeah.
Because they're 99 cents. They're at the counter.
Okay.
I believe I remembered to bring that bag once.
Right, right. You have to make a trip. Well, I mean, wouldn't the idea, though, is like you keep them in the trunk of the car, but that means...
You would think...
You have to bring the bags in, unpack your Target shit, and then take them back out to the car, and then pack them into the car for the time you stop by Target. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get all that.
It's a bunch of shit.
All right. Let's move on.
Oh,
let's move on.
Hey, Doritos, kiss my grits.
Yeah, fuck you, Doritos. Eat me. All right. I gotta stop eating these M&Ms. It's bad for radio. I understand.
Eating nothing but crap today.
Let's talk since you and I last sat down. Well, first of all, there's been two shows since we last sat down. There was actually maybe there's been three shows since we last sat down because there have been two live shows from O'Mara's.
Yeah.
One of which gave you the comedy of John Tenney, which was fantastic. I hope you enjoyed that one. And then I brought you the old guys, which was. Some of the most senior members of the Detroit comedy fraternity.
Senior members.
Jeff Brannon, Tim Rollins, and Billy Ray Bauer were here talking about the old days of comedy. I had to keep those guys, I kept having to explain what Chaplin's Comedy Club was. Because the guys would just, like, make these references to shit that were so inside, I had to stop them every minute. And I hope that didn't ruin anyone's enjoyment of the show, because it was a pretty good show.
Comedy club... closed recently.
Yeah.
The Lansing Connections Club closed.
Yeah.
And all the young guys, and I never worked Lansing all that much, but, you know, I've been there periodically over the years. So I was, you know, it was a nice club and whatever. I enjoyed the people there, but it wasn't a big deal for me. But the people, what I'm saying is I've been doing comedy for a long time, and that like four clubs have closed that I've worked.
Yeah.
And it was a big traumatic thing for these kids, and I'm like, how many clubs does Jeff Brannon see die?
Exactly. Well,
like 47.
That was one of the things. The story was, you know, there were five Chaplins at one point. One of them was in Windsor.
Yeah,
there's a lot of reminiscing, that kind of stuff. Like there, there was even some talk about, you know, I talked about how, and we've had this conversation when you're here, you know, about how new comics, it's a different playing field now. There's a lot of, you know, people bomb and they don't really give a shit, and there sort of seems to be among certain people. No real reason for them to try to make any money or make a career of it. It's more of something you do as a hobby, and you put it on Facebook, and you tell your friends about it, and it's more of a, you know, it seems to be more of something you experience for your own internal benefit rather than, and comedy always
the
was
way
that.
The way the business is going, just, most people.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, but it used to be like you wanted to be like America's great entertainer, and when you went to a club, you would try to see, you know, everybody wanted to be a superstar in comedy, and now guys are there just trying to, you know, work through some stuff.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's
there was always a number of guys that were like that. I always looked at comedy as a business that I wanted
to
be in.
Right, right. And so anyway, there was some talk of that, and I was very negative on it, and there was some internet feedback that in certain comedy circles about that, but whatever. Well, this guy Mark Sweetman, who I'm probably going to have Mark on the show one day, if not either live or in the studio, I'm not sure, but Mark transcribed about 10 minutes of the show on Facebook. So he was that into it. Yeah, I
missed this conversation.
Well, you're not part of the...
Which network
there's
is
a,
it?
There's a group that it's in that you're not a subscriber to.
Okay, there's like 72.
Yeah, I can tell you the group, yeah. There's Inside Comedy
and Closed
Group.
Show me that later.
Yeah, I'll show
there's later. Well, I'm in like four or five of those.
Right, and you
groups.
Were in some that I wasn't in until recently.
Yeah.
That I had to join. And I wasn't even in the one that Mark Sweetman transcribed all this stuff in.
Here's what...
And, okay. I said to him, I said, Sweetman, how come you don't put it up in a group that I'm a part of? And he goes... It would be too controversial in one of those groups. Sweetman goes, well, I didn't want you to take all the shit from those guys.
So,
and I go, Sweetman, put it up there. Who gives a fuck? I'm doing it on a show. It's public.
Comedy message boards, if I can just take a moment.
Yeah.
Now they're all Facebook groups. There was once a time when they were like message boards. Mm-hmm. And then somebody had to go to the trouble of hosting that.
Yeah.
And there were comic message boards. There was even like email chains and stuff. And those used to be guys who go, I got fucked by the guy. And this guy... In Fort Wayne, stiffed me, And he owes
don't
me,
take a check. It'll bounce.
He owes me $800 because he stiffed me on the 3 weeks. So it was a lot of that. It was a lot of don't work for this guy or this room's good. And then it would occasionally break into flame wars.
Uh-huh.
And I remember on one of those, somebody put up naked pictures of a guy's wife.
I remember the naked pictures being emailed to me.
Oh, were they emailed? Okay.
Yeah. I think they were emailed and not posted, but I received them.
All right.
Yeah.
If that happened in a Facebook group now, if somebody posted pictures of somebody else's wife or girlfriend or some shit, the internet would come apart at the sea. Servers would melt. Because now it's like, what makes me crazy is these Facebook groups is that conversations will start and arguments will go on. And there was one over the closing of Lansing.
Sure.
And all those guys kind of, and every guy had a picture of themselves on stage at Lansing as their profile pic, which I made a point of. But there was one guy that was like, well, you know, I didn't like that club because they never worked me. Yeah. Every swinging dick, every little punk open micer took a shit on this guy. Well, now, whether this guy was meritful or whatever, I don't know. I didn't know the guy. I didn't really have a dog in the fight. But there's this rush to shut down the conversation on these groups now. And that, to me, like, those guys, Brandon and those guys will fucking call each other names all day long.
Well, there is it's an internet culture thing. It's not specific to comedy groups where there is a certain group thing. There is a certain feeling that, you know, if you start the thread, you're not really trying to have, you know, people say that, you know, the internet brings, you know, open discussion. And what it is that people want to start a discussion and have people agree with them. It's like, oh, I support you. Yeah, you did well. And so feel better about yourself. People don't really want to have an open discussion because an open discussion involves everybody. And that's true of politics. That's true of everything. No one wants to have a fucking open discussion about anything. You think people want to have an open discussion about gun control, or you think people want to have an open discussion about abortion? Nobody wants to have an open discussion. No. You want to be surrounded with people who think similarly to you.
I've come to the conclusion, speaking of that.
And again, not specific to comedy. So when people say, this club is gone, how sad is this? You're supposed to go, yeah, that's sad. But it's sort of saying, like, you know, my grandfather died. Be sad for me. Mm-hmm. And a guy comes on and goes, I don't ever knew your grandfather. I don't really give a shit. I'm going out for a hoagie.
Now,
that's what a guy says. Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
What you could have had was a conversation about what exactly economic factors led to the closing of this club.
Exactly, yeah.
What was the management situation of the club? What was the booking policy of the club?
Yeah.
Why did this thing not... Yeah. Why did it come to an end? But that was like,
no.
I had a great time and I got a blowjob there.
But again, it goes back to, I mean, with some of these guys anyway, what am I getting out of this comedy? When to many people, a comedy club is just a place to perform. To other people, it's a place where people are making money. It's a place where people are, you know, depending upon for their, you know, livelihoods. And yeah, a lot of these are run very poorly in that regard. And they're not going to last, and that's why, you know, how many clubs have gone out of business in the last 3 years in Michigan? Three or four, like, about one a year is going under. Like
now, a couple have replaced
them,
but, you know,
they're not.
There's a new club in Toledo.
When
Joey's Dearborn was, like, my Lansing, I worked there a lot starting out.
Yeah.
So I was sad when that closed, except the room had gone downhill.
Yeah.
So when it closed, I understood why.
Yeah.
This was like out of the blue, like nobody had seen what was going to happen at Lansing. I don't know. And I don't want to slag that club off.
Some people don't see the whole
picture.
No. They only see the little sliver that affects them. Mm-hmm. And you know, people that would go there on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights to do an open mic, they're going to be sad about it because that's not around anymore. But at the end of the day, the people who depend on a club like that for their livelihood, that club had failed them many years ago.
Well, I feel bad for the staff that work there.
And the staff works there, and that's fine, too. But, you know, again...
You know, look, it's just that one comedy club is not your... Okay. Now, the Comedy Castle, if that closed, I'd be sad.
Yes.
But everybody should be sad, because it's a great club.
Yes.
And I don't want any comedy clubs to go out of business, because that's money out of my pocket eventually.
Yes.
But instead of a conversation about why or what the reasoning was, it was... A kid said he didn't get in there, and they all took a shit on him.
Well,
that's what I hate about the message
board. And the problem with the comedy, not specific to the message board, but just in the comedy, Everybody has a club they started out in.
Mm.
Whatever that is going to be special to you, whether it was good or bad or not as good or as bad as whatever you started at. You know, you talk about Joey's Dearborn. We could talk about Club Bart that way.
I'm
we
sure there were a lot of people that hated Joey's Dearborn.
But I'm saying those were special to us because we started there. Sure. This was special to them because they started there. Yeah. And after when you can put some distance and some time between you and those things, you look at them and go, those things really weren't that great. You know what I mean? You could do Joey's Dearborn again. You could do Lansing again. You could do Toledo again. You could do these clubs again. And maybe there will be. It might take some time until you get something. But generally speaking, there are times, there are instances in our lives where things disappear and the things that replace them are never as good as what you know they took the place of. Mm-hmm. But that's rare. Most of the things that take the place of things that you don't have anymore are better.
Something will come along, and it might be an upgrade.
Right.
Whatever.
I mean, think about the car you drove when you were a teenager and the car you drive now. There's no way you drive that. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Okay. There's some things people have no nostalgia for.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody on Earth care about, like, an Amiga computer? Like,
yeah.
Are there guys that like those?
There are guys, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, guys who like cassettes can suck my dick.
Well, you have to remember, the Amiga is where guys could do video editing for the first time. I think the video toaster was an Amiga, I believe. And that was the first, I don't know, I saw Tim's Vermeer. That's the video toaster guy did that too. So anyway, no, there's guys nostalgic. Video games are a thing where I go, thank fucking God I don't have to play those games from the 80s and the 90s anymore. Thank fuck.
Some of those games are good.
No, fuck off. I mean, look, there are games that are classic and they do have, but you know what? I go like, I love the ability to save my game in the middle and come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that when you're playing the original Super Mario Brothers. You know, some of them had, you know.
There's nostalgia for the really great games.
Yeah.
What people don't remember is that for every really great game, there were 3,000 piece of crap NES titles that were awful.
Right. I have no nostalgia for vinyl records. I have no nostalgia. My feeling is a lot of people have nostalgia for vinyl records or people who never had to use them as their sole way of listening to music in the first place. Because if you did, you would have no nostalgia for vinyl records, in my opinion.
I'll tell you what, I don't have any of that. I obviously was alive in the vinyl era, and when I was a kid, we had a record player and records.
Yeah.
And it always annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
Put the needle down and the whole thing, and I never looked back. I know now there's like CDs are dying and there's not much nostalgia for those.
There's almost no nostalgia for CDs. And
I love CDs and I have a shit pile of them and I still buy them because they're cheap now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was because that was my format.
But you know, cassettes, people have no nostalgia for cassettes because cassettes really, I mean, those cassettes were more convenient than records in that you could take them in your car and stuff. And
well, CDs are still a good format. The audio quality is still pretty good.
Yeah, CDs are still good, but it's inconvenient to you know what I mean? Like,
it's not that inconvenient. I know.
It's inconvenient enough. For example, I was just thinking today, I no longer, now I have a nice a home theater receiver and a nice speaker setup, and you know that I have stopped listening to music on my home theater receiver and speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Because it's a pain in the ass?
Because the only thing that plays CDs anymore is my PlayStation 3, the only thing connected that even plays. I think the Xbox, the original Xbox, the 360 will. Not the original one. I have the original one. It's not hooked up. But the 360 is hooked up. That'll play a CD. But I have no remote for that. You know, I have a remote for the PS3, and that was how I listened to it. But what happened was streaming music, Google Play Music is something I subscribe to, the All Access. I pay $8 a month. Every CD I've ever owned is on there. Almost every, you know what I mean? Like, there's stuff that wouldn't be on there if I didn't upload it.
Well,
but there are things
that are missing. And
but no, you're missing. If I own it on CD, I can add it to the system.
Right.
Meaning, if it's not part of the subscription, like the Beatles catalog is not part of Spotify or any of those. But since I have all the Beatles CDs with Google, I can upload my Beatles CDs to the service, and it integrates them with the stuff that they offer you as part of your subscription.
Yeah.
So I have everything that I've ever owned or wanted on that system.
Well, there you go.
I no longer, so I have no need for any format of anything other than that. And it's on my phone, and it's on my computer, and it's on, you know, so there's really no need for any of those formats anymore. And I'm happy for that. I don't look back and go like, I wish I had a vinyl record of this. So, I mean, look, there are things like I bought the Beatles. They reissued, they did a special box where they took all of the Beatles 12-inch artwork of all the records, the insides, mm-hmm. even like all of the flip-through books for Magical Mystery Tour, and they published those as a hardback book.
Well,
I bought that thing because I wanted that big, giant artwork, you know. It was cheaper than going out and buying the records and having to haul the records around for the rest of my life. So I bought this book with all the Beatles 12-inch artwork, the original artwork. From, you know, the American ones, the British ones, everything, okay? And I enjoy that. I spent about $100 on that, and I don't regret it. But that's about the one thing I get nostalgic for.
Well,
I mean, if I'm nostalgic in any way, it's for that. Because I did originally listen to the Beatles on vinyl.
If I'm nostalgic for anything, it's shopping. It's the shopping experience for physical media.
Yeah.
I miss records. I mean, there are record stores, and in fact, there's a slight revival of record stores based on vinyl. There was a time when there were like five record stores in downtown Royal Oak.
Sure.
And you'd go to each one, and some of the guys were douchebags, and you didn't like their store. But the fun of hanging out with other people who collected music.
I enjoyed that.
That's what people miss.
Look, I enjoyed that.
It's not really the format.
Look, I was a young person. I would have enjoyed doing whatever it was at that age. If that didn't exist, if we had music now like it is, I would enjoy sitting around with my friends and going through Google Play Music and finding good music that way. It's just what you did at the time. I don't miss that in the sense that I don't need to do that again. It was fun when I did it, but I don't need to do that again.
I'm sure guys like Mark Sweetman are nostalgic for 8-track tapes.
Well, there are, but I mean,
but those fucking suck.
I know. I had an 8-track player too as a kid. I've had like every format. But, you know,
there was a documentary called So Wrong They're Right, like about 8-track collectors.
Yeah.
What a bunch of jackals.
No, 8-tracks were awful.
What about 120-gram vinyl, Joel?
Well, listen, vinyl is something else. Vinyl is sort of
is
like,
that, I'm sorry, that's not even the high end, but what is
180-gram vinyl 180 is considered gram? That. But the thing with vinyl is that vinyl has become commoditized because it's no longer ubiquitous.
Yes.
When they make vinyl records now, they do them in small pressings. So they've become collectible in the fact that they're not ubiquitous, you know. And I think any format would be. But you have to remember, vinyl guys have iPods. Vinyl guys, when they're in their car, they're not listening to their vinyl, obviously. They're not, you know. So, you know, there's guys. And a lot of times when you buy vinyl now, if you buy like an independent record on vinyl, they give you a download code inside the packaging. Or, you know, if you order it online, they'll email you a code. So you can download the music as well. Like, there's guys who buy vinyl records who never actually listen to the vinyl record. They listen to the digital file.
I never developed the vinyl gene. Just never.
It's a fetish. It's
right, and I understand that, though.
Yeah,
but look, I love books.
Right.
I love CDs. I still buy DVDs.
Until 3 years ago, I had Laserdiscs in this studio.
Sure.
I had a Laserdisc player and fucking 12-inch Laserdisc movies.
Well, look. I have Blu-ray now, and Blu-ray is so clearly better.
Yeah.
Although, you know, DVDs get up-converted in your Blu-ray player, so they're okay.
You know, they're okay, but
it's so much better on Blu-ray.
If you can pick up a Blu-ray for $10 of, like, your favorite movie, even if you own it already, you'll get it.
Sure.
If it's cheap enough, I'll do that, sure. But, you know.
Whatever. All right.
Okay.
Enough
of
this.
On.
We could do this all night.
We have. We're actually done
Jesus
with the show.
All right, good night, everybody.
Yeah. The late night landscape has changed in the last two months. Corey, let's
been a
get
while
into it.
Since I've been here.
David Letterman is retiring.
Yes, sir.
His replacement will be Stephen Colbert,
stripped
of the Colbert Report persona.
Yes.
And being whatever he is as a real guy.
Which I don't think is going to be that much of a difference.
And in other news, staying with CBS. Craig Ferguson has announced his retirement from his show.
Yep.
They have now announced the replacement. Chelsea Handler is rumored still, I believe, to be the front runner for that.
She tried to deny it, but, you know.
It looks like that's probably the direction they're
Somebody
going.
Somebody caught her with a like CBS employee handbook.
Yeah, she. Well, I don't think they caught her. I think was it was on her Twitter. It was on her Instagram or Twitter or something. But yeah. So my feeling here's my feeling on this. Number one, I told you when Leno went away that Letterman was because Letterman has no rival. He has no. You know what I mean? There's if there's no villain for the hero to fight anymore, what good is the hero?
Letterman wanted there's to just no reason wait for Letterman. Till Leno was gone.
He wanted to piss on Leno's grave.
And he did.
Good for him.
He's going to last a whole year past Leno.
Good.
Who was, let's be honest, finally shown the door.
Right. Well, that's fine. Okay. Now, Jimmy Fallon has been on now for several months, since I think January, February.
Mm-hmm.
His ratings are falling. I believe Jimmy Kimmel won a week recently.
Jimmy Kimmel's on the upswing.
So Jimmy Kimmel's on the upswing. Yeah. ABC is confident in that show. My feeling is Colbert was a very easy pick.
Yeah.
I think my feeling is Colbert will be fine. In other words, my feeling is Jimmy Fallon sucks so bad.
Well,
my feeling is Fallon is so bad. And Fallon, I mean, and mark my word, what day is it now? May 14 of 2014?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon will be, because, okay. Oh, God, I got so much to say. I got to figure what's in. Okay. I'm watching Letterman. They bring out Don Rickles.
Sure.
Don Rickles is his number one, not a number one, because he's all over the place. Rickles seems to have no issue ripping Jimmy Fallon a new asshole.
Well, that's what Rickles does.
I know.
He's a man.
But he goes, What am I? I don't play games. What am I, Jimmy Fallon? So he makes fun of how Jimmy Fallon plays all the party games, which is something I've been saying for years. And I feel like, you know, the tide is going to turn against Jimmy Fallon. People are going to look at that and
you
go,
and I will be pioneers.
He's a laughing fucking stock. That's what people are going to say about that guy. And it's coming. And it may not happen tomorrow.
You know
and
what,
you can
though?
Sit there, and I'm willing to be wrong now to be right tomorrow.
But here's the thing. The general critical impression of Leno, even from day one, you can go on YouTube right now, find a Bill Hicks clip from like 1992 where he talks about what an abortion Leno was.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Mystery Science Theater clip they did of where they put a big chin on Crow.
Sure.
Like, people thought that sucked to begin with.
I understand that.
But Leno remained on TV for 20 years.
Well, my feeling is that, okay, but that here's the difference with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is not universally being criticized from the get-go. He is not. He is being praised in some circles.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that
I think are kind of in the minority on this.
We are on the minority on Jimmy Fallon, and I'm willing to be there. Because sometimes the minority is right, and I am right.
Mm.
He stinks. He's awful. And I think Colbert, but what they basically did is they went out, they looked at the competition and said, all we got to do is get a guy to beat Jimmy Fallon. You know, you don't need to get the best guy to be the designated hitter when the pitcher sucks.
Colbert is not a long-term solution because he's 10 years older than Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
So it's not like, I can't imagine Colbert being there for 20 years.
My feeling is, they didn't go out to get the next icon of late-night television.
No, they got kind of a short-term solution.
And whatever. But you know what, that's fine. But then my point is that, you know, they could have went out, and my feeling, and I wish we would have done shows when all this news is breaking. But anyway, my feeling was the my dream hire for late night, and this is not necessarily my dream hire in that this is who I want to sit down and watch every night. But my feeling is the guy who could excel at this job and would be a forward-thinking host, would be a good booking in terms of progression, in terms of what happened in late night, would be Steve Harvey. That would be the best guy to do it.
What the fuck are you?
Listen to me.
What are you?
Let me finish my goddamn
about.
Thought, you moron. Listen to me.
What?
Okay, you're not a moron, but listen to me. Just listen.
Steve Harvey.
Listen, Steve Hart. He would have. But here's the problem. Because you gotta get some black guys on late night.
Anybody but Steve
you
Harvey.
You gotta put.
I'm fine.
Listen. Who you pick a black guy that's better than Steve Harvey as an MC?
I'll think about it.
Okay.
The problem is that black comics are not built for that model.
Right, but Harvey can do it. Harvey could do it. Now, here's the thing. Steve Harvey's got FU money.
Have you watched that Steve Harvey
Steve Harvey
afternoon
would
show?
Take... Exactly.
It is the biggest garbage. You're going to tell me Fallon
Steve,
sucks.
No.
What would Steve... What lame...
Steve, here's the problem with Steve.
Tony Orlando
here's
and Dawn variety show.
They're my
Steve
number
Harvey.
Two. Listen to me. Okay.
Steve Harvey...
Listen to me.
Come on, player. What's he talking about? This is the worst fucking garbage.
Steve Harvey would have to work too hard to do that show. Steve Harvey is a brand in the
Doesn't he have a morning radio show?
First of all, every black guy would love that fucking Steve Harvey late night
Okay,
show.
How's that working for Arsenio?
Black people don't like Arsenio anymore. Arsenio is a thing people used to think was great and now people think sucks, right? Yeah. Who thought that 90s Arsenio show was any good now?
Nobody.
Nobody. Everyone thought it was good then, and actually you and I probably thought it sucked then, but everybody else thought it was good.
Well, Arsenio was not for
us. Steve Harvey is not for us either, but he would have to work at it. He would have to become a more mainstream MC, more of a mainstream talk show host. And I think he's intelligent enough to do it, but the problem is Harvey's got a few money. He would be taking a pay cut to take a network show at this point. He's got syndication money. He's got Family Feud money. He would have to take a pay cut to do it. And listen, and when I say Steve Harvey, again, I'm not saying it's from the perspective of I'm a guy who wants to watch that. Because here's the thing. Guess how much I want to watch Jimmy Fallon? Zero. Guess how much I want to watch Stephen Colbert? About, on a scale of 1 to 10, like a 1. How much do I want to watch Jimmy Kimmel on a scale of 1 to 10? Like a 2. Mm-hmm. I'm done with the fuck all these assholes. You have your fucking shows.
Well, that, okay.
Get out.
There's a problem.
Get out.
There's nothing new.
There's no innovation in comedy. Comedy's not being moved forward by any of these guys.
When Conan came on and to replace Letterman, Conan did something. He did the format, but his sketches, he had great writers. He had Louis C.K. He had
Conan.
He had Robert Smigel. Right. He did fun, interesting stuff.
Conan is from the at the time. Now, again, you have to think back when you think about Conan, because I believe Conan is the last icon of late night television.
He's from the Lampoon.
He's era. He is from in football they have coaching trees. Okay, Conan is from the Simpsons tree, and to tell people what the Simpsons meant in the early 90s when it comes to comedy. You have to have been there to know what that was like. The Simpsons guys, to me, were sort of like the original cast of SNL. Those guys were geniuses at the time. And they were the funniest guys in the room, and they knew it. And they wrote shit that was the funniest shit that anyone was doing. Watch the first 5 or 6 seasons of The Simpsons.
First 7 seasons of Simpsons are magnificent.
Brilliant.
Season 1's a little wobbly, but they're pretty magnificent.
But, I mean, it really is genius comedy in its purest form. And, look, the remaining 13 or 14 whatever seasons of The Simpsons have watered down the legacy of the first 6 or 7 seasons.
I know.
If that show ended after season 7, we'd all be like, nothing would ever be greater
than
that.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, but that's but there was when the showrunner switched to...
Al Jean left.
When they switched to, what's his name, the guy who did... I forget the guy who did Get a Life. That guy, he kind of took it down a notch. So anyway, and Conan came from that tree. Conan was sort of like the Bill Murray of that group, and when he wasn't the original,
Conan was also a Letterman disciple,
right. And he wasn't the original Simpsons guy. He was a guy that came later, but fit right in.
Right.
And so when you tell me that when they announced that a Simpsons guy was doing a late night show, you went like, that's comedy nirvana right there.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection. Great booking. I mean, at the time, people were like, who the fuck is Conan? But if you knew comedy and you knew what was good then, you knew that Conan would be
Conan's
awesome.
Show was a critical and ratings disaster.
Yeah.
I liked it from the get-go.
I did too. Yeah, I did
The very first episode of Conan's show,
yes,
he had George Wendt and John Goodman leg wrestle.
Yes.
They went on the ground and Indian leg wrestle.
I remember
and
that.
And I thought that was great.
It was brilliant.
And he started bringing on Nipsey Russell and all of that stuff.
Abe Vigoda was on every minute.
Perfectly calibrated to my sensibilities.
Conan was
I loved
the best.
Conan. I still like Conan's show, but I like Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
But I like what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And although the problem with Colbert is that he's got Jon Stewart doing the same show before him.
Yeah.
So when you get to Colbert, they're talking about the same topics.
Right.
And sometimes the jokes overlap. Colbert is very good at that format.
And
he's not going to be able to take the politics to the level when he goes to CBS at late night 11:30. It's not going to be 20 minutes on how bad Fox News is or CNN. He can't do the same
he
stuff.
He can't, but you know what? I think that's okay because I think that's played out too. I think
it's been done.
I think Jon Stewart is a little played out in his current format. I would,
Well, how long has Jon Stewart been doing that?
Well, apparently, and this was...
15 years?
And maybe I say this now, and look, I have no affinity for this, but since I was hanging out with one of the guys that works on it last night, Apparently, At Midnight is going to take over Comedy Central. And I think that Stewart and Colbert and that stuff is kind of going to get pushed to the side a little bit.
They've already announced to replace... At Midnight's not moving up.
Right, I know.
Larry Wilmore, who's from The Daily Show.
They're replacing that, but I feel like...
There's a black guy getting a show.
There's a black guy. Hey, black guys.
But he's... And you know what? Larry Wilmore's fine, but he's another one of The Daily Show.
He is. He's another one of those guys, and that's fine. And look, there is a Jon Stewart tree, in a sense, that is Steve Carell and Ed Helms. And Stephen Colbert,
right.
And this other guy, and whoever else. You know, a lot of those people have gone on to be on, you know,
yeah,
actors.
Yeah, The Daily Show has provided
a lot. Has spawned a lot of talent, and that's fine.
Rob Riggle, which I could live without, but, you know.
And then it spawns Rob Riggle. Well, you know.
Well, Asif Mandi. I'll get to him in a minute.
Okay.
When we get to the movie reviews.
And so anyway.
In this 7-hour show. All right.
So my feeling is they could have went with like a Steve Harvey. I think that would have been a better choice. Chelsea, I know.
What are you, 82 years old?
I'm telling you.
How would you like Steve Harvey?
From a business, it brings a new audience to late night. Colbert is safe in that he doesn't bring anybody new. Nothing. Look, if you can't do anything new, at least open the tent up and bring new people in.
I'm going to tell you.
I'm sorry if that sounds a little Republican for you. But that's the way it is.
I'll tell you what. I'm not opposed to having a black host. Steve Harvey is an old black host.
Right.
So he would not be generally bringing in a different audience.
But wouldn't he be more in the Carson Letterman tradition?
What you need to have is a young audience.
Okay.
Because Leno's going away. Letterman's going away. Mm-hmm. Our parents do not like Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
I can imagine. I once had a conversation with my in-laws about Leno and why he sucked.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them watching Fallon with all his Twitter jokes and all his,
but
you know.
Wouldn't old people
checking
love
Instagram?
Wouldn't old people love Steve Harvey?
Yeah, but that's but again, where's the innovation? Where's the new? Where's the fresh?
That's innovation. He's black.
Oh,
it's innovative.
Not innovation.
It is.
Steve Harvey's the worst.
He's a black.
Why don't you just bring back goddamn bean eating fucking alcoholic fucking. the guy who passed out at Windsor Casino, fucking
George Lopez talk show failed on
because
PBS.
It sucked, and Steve Harvey sucks the biggest
Steve
dick.
Harvey
Steve
could
Harvey
do it if he I'm giving you an example.
Oh my god, Steve Harvey sucks such big dicks. He's got Greg Oden's smell on his fucking mustache. What a piece of shit Steve Harvey.
Are you telling me Greg Oden has a big dick, and how do you know this?
The man's 18 feet tall.
All right, listen to me.
Look, it's just math.
I'm just telling you how. Listen. Listen.
Listen.
I'm separating out
Steve
my own.
Fucking. You're separating logic. Steve Harvey's the hackiest shit in the world.
All they're doing is giving bad people. So what you're saying is we can't give this guy who sucks a show because these other guys, they already suck. And this guy sucks, but since he sucks in a different way, you can't suck in a different way.
You have to
suck in the same way that the other guys suck.
You and I fundamentally differ. I think you and I fundamentally differ in our appraisal of Colbert. I really like Colbert.
Okay.
I think he's good. I just don't know how that format is going to work for his style. Because his style is to just eviscerate.
But
you know what he has on his show every night? Authors. He's got people who write big think books and, you know, books about Afghanistan and stuff. How is that going to come over on Letterman? Does a little bit of that, and I like that.
It's not. It's because it's not going to do it.
And it's all the stuff that we hate Fallon for.
But
Fallon can't have a conversation with an
when
author.
When you're at 11:30, you gotta interview the bimbo hot actress of the moment. Ugh. You've got to interview the old movie star. You've got to interview.
Can't we move on?
Because that's the format of the show. And what I'm saying is Steve Harvey could do that format. I think Stephen Colbert can do that format.
I think
I just don't think that Stephen Colbert can bring anything to it like Conan brought to late night. I think he can do what Letterman did. I think he can do what Leno does.
It's just
he can certainly do what Fallon does because, you know, Colbert, and maybe this is lost on you, but he sings and dances and does all kinds of dumb shit like
no,
that.
No, he does. He does some of that.
He can do all that. And the biggest asshole in all this, you want to talk about revisionist history. Yeah. And this is a guy you like, and I like him too, but we got to put this guy on blast right now.
What?
This Craig Ferguson. You're sitting around dancing with your goddamn horse when you should have been auditioning for the fucking job of your lifetime. You stupid dick. You blew it. I want to be in the office with his agent or his manager and go, you blew it.
Okay.
You stupid ass.
The guy who blew it the worst was the other guy named Craig who had the who had the job
all
before
right,
him.
But let's
Craig Kilborn. All right. Who I liked, and Craig Kilborn's show. Craig Kilborn, by the way, who was the first host of The Daily Show.
He was.
And also had a talk show. His talk show was had a really glib, it had a tone.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't sustainable, probably, but
sure.
I kind of enjoyed that Kilborn show felt like it was kind of a send-up of himself, and he was doing this whole massive egomaniac. People couldn't see the difference, though. They couldn't tell where the line was.
Well, listen.
And Kilborn fucked himself because he asked for a big raise, and CBS said, you're on at 12:30. We can get a chimp to do this. And they went out, and they got Ferguson.
And they got a chimp. And Ferguson is a guy who, again, Ferguson, look, again, to host an 11:30 show, you have to want to do that format a little bit. You have to change. Letterman adapted to be on at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Conan adapted to be on at 11:30 when Conan was on for those 7 months.
Sure.
So listen, you have to change a little bit. And if Ferguson was willing to do it, I believe Ferguson would have gotten the 11:30 show if he would have put any effort into that fucking 12:30 show.
Do you think part of the problem was that Worldwide Pants produced his show?
No, because ultimately what they would have done is they just would have hired Ferguson. Ferguson would have started his own production company, and he would have produced it. Leno's production company produced The Tonight Show for all those years.
I am with
you. Know?
I enjoy Craig Ferguson.
He pissed it away.
But he did sit there and doodle around, and you're right.
He talked to his robot.
He talked to his robot, and he had the puppets. All of the stuff I liked about his show.
And it's interesting, and I love it too, but it's...
All the stuff I liked about his show, you're right, does come off as lazy. Because it's not a lot of pre-written stuff.
Yes.
Now, Fallon's got a team of writers writing bullshit for him.
Yeah.
And then when the interviews come on, he's a chimp.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn baboon.
But, I mean, how many, like, produced... I mean... maybe you know the show better than me, but does Ferguson ever do any sort of produced things where he goes to, he doesn't do any of that like Conan stuff where he goes out or they send Triumph out or
No.
They do nothing. They never leave the studio.
He used to do sketches.
Yeah.
And he used to do like bits where they like.
I know he'll do green screen stuff occasionally.
He used to do green screen. He used to do a lot more of that.
And then it's just like.
And that's all gone.
Yeah.
Now it's let's talk to the horse and the robot.
I mean, it's literally this podcast has more production value.
Well, the show got better
show.
When he had somebody to talk to because he's talking to the stupid robot.
Yeah.
But the guy who does the robot voice is funny. I don't know who it is.
I don't know who it is either.
They were actually the night he retired. He announced his leaving.
Yeah.
They started doing a bit with a phone where they kept getting calls from all the late night hosts.
Oh, okay.
And they did about 5 minutes on. They did the Leno voice.
Yeah, okay.
And it was great. Yeah. And then Fallon called in. And,
right.
Hey, pal. Hey, buddy. So he really took a shit on those guys.
And that's fine. And I like Ferguson as a performer, maybe better than any of the guys that are currently doing it. But
yeah,
what are you going to do when you've put no effort into it? They're going to look at
you. A fucking lazy show, though. That Steve Harvey show would be the worst thing. You've lost your goddamn mind.
Well, no, first of all, here's what Steve Harvey would say about you. You lost your goddamn mind, Corey. I just can't believe what you... Yeah, but listen, Steve Harvey is a brand in the urban centers of America.
So are Jack Doritos. Doesn't mean they're good.
Hey, man, I'm going to have my own Doritos out there, Corey. I hope you're going to pick them up that place.
You can't possibly... on one hand, you're being... progressive, and you're like, I want an African-American
host.
Think that's fine. And I think the fact that none of those shows went to, ultimately, none of the network shows went to a black man or a woman.
Sure.
We still have the Ferguson slot, but and that'll probably go to a slot. But still, I'm with you.
Listen.
Let's diversify.
I want
Harvey.
I want a black guy who can suck and I cannot watch. Just like the other white guys that suck and I don't watch.
You've got it. It's called Arsenio.
That's all I want. Is it too much to ask? All right.
Arsenio's show is the worst.
Is
another thing.
I always felt with syndication, though, and I'll let you talk. I always felt that, like, even if they cancel your syndicated show... Yeah. The orders are like for 6 months of shows, and they can't really yank it. So is that what's happening with him? But anyway, go
Arsenio,
ahead.
I don't know. His ratings got to be in the toilet. I think the whole point is, though, Tyler Perry makes a lot of money because every black person in America goes to see his movies. No white people go to see Tyler Perry's movies.
No, nobody.
So I think what you're doing when you get a host like Arsenio is you've got a niche market. When Arsenio was hot for the 2 years he was hot in the 90s, he was attracting... like a hip-hop audience, which is a lot of suburban white kids.
Sure, yeah.
the suburban white kids eventually saw enough of Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
And the same bullshit.
Bobby Brown and
my posse.
MC Hammer.
Right.
Yeah.
Those were the guys. Talk about a guy who had no bits.
Yeah, exactly.
Arsenio came out and did a 15-minute monologue and then went right to the guests.
Yeah.
Never had a bit, and then he had a music act.
Yeah, a music act.
So he never did any bits.
Sure.
He never did anything different with the format. He just sat there and sucked people's asses.
Sure.
Arsenio's horrible.
No, absolutely.
But
Nobody's saying Arsenio's good now. No one says Larry King is good now. I think Steve Harvey.
The one talk show host who lost his job.
Is talent.
We can all be happy about.
Who's that?
Piers Morgan.
Okay. Yes.
That piece of shit.
There you go.
Get out of here.
Steve, get the fuck out. All right. And by the way, whatever's going on at CNN, I could do. And in fact, if you heard the last live show, I did 5 minutes on CNN and the missing plane. It's all on the show.
Let's schedule a CNN episode.
All right.
They're a fucking hot butter disaster. That CNN.
So bad. They are so.
Did you see that Sterling interview with Cooper?
They have this like grab bag of hosts, and everybody is like, well, we have the white gay guy, we have the black gay guy, we have the black lady, we have the fat black lady, we have the gay black lady, we have the fat gay black white guy with the black lady and the white, and then we have the white guy that we... It's this mixture of people that they throw... We have the hot chick, we got the old hot chick, we got the young hot chick.
There's nothing...
And it's such a... They throw it against the wall.
Okay, so the only thing CNN has on that are worth watching at all are Anthony Bourdain, and now Morgan Spurlock
has a show, which I haven't seen, I like Morgan Spurlock. And
Morgan Spurlock's very likable.
I think I recorded one of those. I never watched it. And I know the first season's on Netflix.
I watched one where he went around and was doing religion.
Okay.
And he had to write a sermon for this like agnostic group. And then he went around knocking on doors with Mormons. So, I mean, it was a pretty well-done show. It's Morgan Spurlock, who's never going to be... You know, super edgy, whatever.
Well, yeah, Spurlock is...
He's no Vice.
He's in that Michael Moore tradition. Vice can take a flying leap. I don't get that.
Which, by the way, all of the Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, Larry Wilmore, now John Oliver's got a show on HBO.
Which
is The Daily Show.
By the way, he fucked up, too, because you figure the time...
Around 2 weeks.
He was... Yeah, if he would have waited 2 weeks, he might have gotten 12:30 at CBS, and he just blew it.
Or he could have at least gotten the... Colbert spot.
Yeah, he could have gotten something. And now he's on HBO, which is good.
His show is basically... Right.
And he could still get the 12:30 at CBS. They could still swing that for him.
John Oliver's show is basically The Daily Show, but a little more in-depth. He does a little longer segment or whatever. It's good. It's the same format. And all of that shit, all of that entire universe of liberal commentary, satire, fake news shows... belongs to Michael Moore.
Yeah.
And he told me at a book signing, I went to his book signing in like 1997, and he's, when The Daily Show was just starting, he's like, yeah, they ripped me off.
Yeah, they
and you know
did.
What? Go watch TV Nation clips.
TV Nation was great, yeah. I enjoyed that show.
And it is, the whole format of the like fake interviewer, spoofy, that all comes out of, now Michael Moore didn't sit at a desk and do the setups, but that whole structure of the interviews they do on The Daily Show all came out of Michael.
Well, he did sort of, you know, Ali G kind of did that too, and sort of, they, you know. So, yeah, I agree with
you,
Michael
Moore. I saw
a clip
where he went and they got a bunch of gay guys and they got a, like, painted a pink bus and followed around the late, great Fred Phelps.
Okay.
And they would just go and, like, have every gay guy making out behind him while he was trying to protest. So, you know, funny stuff like that. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks I'm with you. I don't know what I'm curious about what Colbert is going to do. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll see.
Let's just stay on TV. We're going to get to movies because Corey's going to review Godzilla in a minute. But Silicon Valley on HBO is pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's from
It's Mike Judge.
It's Mike Judge, and Mike Judge is good. I've only watched the first one, and so I know. I know it's. I think the run is almost over for it, if it's not already. But
I think they probably only made 8 episodes.
If you have the on demand or the HBO Go, you go ahead and check out Silicon Valley. I recommend it. It's good. It has that inside baseball where it may be very dated down the line, where you know that this company is really just Facebook. This company is really just Google, and they've sort of changed
instead of
the
Google,
names.
They have Hulu.
Yeah. So I feel like they've kind of done that, and they're taking shots there. But I thought Silicon Valley is well done, and I think it's since I pretty much have given up on sitcoms, and honestly, if you haven't, you might as well. Apparently, NBC did, looking at their fall schedule.
They dump.
They
dump all the sitcoms.
Well, they dumped. You know, Thursday is no longer going to be for
comedy night.
Comedy. There's going to be comedy from 9 to 10, but no longer at 8. I forget what they're doing at 8. They're doing a drama or something. So
that ain't going to last.
8. It's no longer Thursday. Is no longer comedy night.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I think this is the last season for Parks and Rec, thank God.
Is it the last one?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Two and a Half Men's finally going to die.
Yeah.
Community got canceled.
Yeah, they canceled Two and a Half Men.
Poor old Community got canceled.
Yeah,
and
I thought that might...
You know what, though? That's enough of Community.
Yeah, it is.
I liked Community.
Right.
But enough. First of all, how do you have a show set in a junior college where it's going to last for 6 years?
Right, yeah.
Kind of a problem.
Community, and listen, and I know guys who work on Community.
We have a good friend who
writes a good friend that works on Community. Is just sort of like, it always felt like it was kind of the Special Olympics. It always felt like, let's just give them a medal for participating. It's, you know, and not that it wasn't good, because people that liked it loved it. I had my problems with it, which we've discussed on the show in the past. But, you know, I'm glad it was around. I mean, it was definitely more progressive and more interesting than most of these other stupid shows.
Community had some real highlights and had some great episodes, yeah. But
to me, you know, something like The Office, which again is probably the high watermark for sitcoms in the last decade. You know, it's not that, and it's not Parks and Rec, which is a kind of a watered down version of The Office. It's not any of those. It's just you know, it's different. It has its own little unique thing. It has its unique fan base.
I'd rather have shows like Community than not. Yeah. I'm happy that it was around. It really wobbled in that second to last season.
But you know what? When you have things like HBO doing Silicon Valley, there's a show called Betas that's on the Amazon Prime video on demand, which is almost exactly Silicon Valley with less production value, which I thought was pretty funny on the one I watched. You have shit like that. You have shit like the stuff that's on Netflix. There's more places for those kind of shows.
When you talk about sitcoms,
yeah,
the only ones I watch are on cable.
Okay, yeah.
But... Veep.
You watch Veep.
I watch Veep, and I watch Silicon Valley. Girls is sort of a sitcom. I wouldn't necessarily describe it as a sitcom, but
well, I cry when I watch Girls because I remember how good it used to be.
Yeah,
and I cry for the season one of Girls to come back. Anyway,
I liked Chris Guest's show that was on.
Okay, I never saw that.
That didn't get renewed.
Yeah,
how do you not get renewed at HBO? You really got to be doing no numbers. Mm-hmm. But
and some people like Shameless on Showtime. I've heard people talk about that.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've never really seen it, but
there's
I know
so
people.
Much goddamn
yeah, there's
television.
So much too much. Anyway, so the new fall shows have all been announced. The upfronts for this week. The one that I went out of my way to watch, did you? Because they have trailer. ABC had trailers anyway. I don't know if the other networks have trailers. Mm-hmm. They probably have some sort of. There's a show called Selfie. Selfie coming out on ABC. But you're gonna watch this. Here's why you're gonna watch this. It's
I hate that name already.
It's a modern day My Fair Lady.
Oh Jesus.
With the chick from Doctor Who.
Karen Gillan.
Yes, who's very, very attractive. A nice looking redhead.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cho meets her and has to make her sophisticated because she is a narcissistic social media whore.
Oh, well good.
And he has to teach her how to be refined. And
I don't know which blogger coined this.
Yeah.
But I think it was like somebody in Salon.
Yeah.
But Amy always calls ABC the Big Dumb Girl Network.
Well, they're
and that is exactly.
And I watched this 2-minute trailer for this, and I went
exactly what
exactly
ABC
for
is
this, and I go, here's the thing, I think I can beat off to this show. Now listen, I know when I say that, and I say that to my listeners who I consider friends, and I know that I've said that about a lot of shows over the years. But here's what the problem even comes up with when I watch a show, and I can go, I'll watch that because I can beat off to it. I ultimately have shows like Happy Endings, which had three very attractive girls in their own way.
There's no shows I can beat off to.
I couldn't. I never watched.
I enjoy pornography.
I never. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I could beat off to Happy Endings, and yet the show was still so bad, it wasn't enough reason for me to watch.
Oh, God.
Remember, that show had Alicia Cuthbert. It had Casey Wilson from SNL. And what was the other girl's name? Eliza Coop, who was on Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm.
All hot chicks. All trying to be funny and failing. Couldn't watch it. Couldn't beat off to it.
Sure.
So I think the selfie,
defense,
I'm not going to make.
In her defense, Casey Wilson has been trying to be funny. since she was on SNL.
She's celebrating her 10th anniversary of trying to be funny. It's amazing.
She's got a movie that popped up on Netflix. It's called Ass Backwards.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for on Netflix.
Straight to video.
I'm like, yeah. I maybe would watch this if I was out of options for my life.
Believe me. Go through, and Netflix gets them later. Go through whatever your cable's, your cable's video on demand, and there's going to be some movie with Kirsten Dunst that you've never heard of that's available for rental for $5.99. That will make your fucking eyeballs bleed. There was a girl I was dating that rented whatever, what was it called? There was like a female hangover. Like, even before Bridesmaids.
Okay.
Like, there was one that came right after. I don't know if it was, like, The Bachelorette.
Was Rose Byrne in it?
And it was, like, Rose Byrne was in Bridesmaids. It was Kirsten Dunst and a bunch of slots.
Okay.
And they were running around like it was...
That was what it was called.
No. They were running around like it was The Hangover. And, my girlfriend at the time wanted to watch this. So I sat down and watched this piece of shit with her. It was it was so awful.
Yeah.
And even she hated it. You know, it's not like it was like something she liked. Go find your video on demand movie. You're straight to cable.
I'm good.
Bad. Well, and it all has people you're gonna recognize the stars. They might be a little off
streaming.
They might be like your Ashley Judd. They might be, 10 years past their expiration date. But they're gonna be names.
Speaking of all right, so you've got a Blu-ray player hooked up in your living room running, streaming.
Yeah, you stream in here too.
Go just dig through a Sony Blu-ray player, and then once you get past Netflix and Hulu, you start like Crackle,
absolutely,
and popcorn flicks.
Yes,
and there's all these streaming services
PS4
like
too. And
there's three. Like all these ones that nobody uses.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
Well, go look through those sometime.
Oh yeah,
you will find some crap you never knew.
You really will find
it is like sub Roger Corman stuff. It's amazing.
You will see Frank Langella as a priest. You will see things that you never wanted.
It's really nuts.
No one ever. Because you think about, these guys who want...
You want Korean musicals? We got them.
Netflix has those, too, if you dig down. You have to go to,
Hulu's got a ton of crazy
stuff. Hulu has bad shit, too, yeah.
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 But whatever. It's a magical wonder world, and everything's great, and we don't need record stores or video stores anymore because we have a wonderful world of streaming.
But there was a day, as I was a kid going to film school... There were movies I could not see. Like, there was no way to find a copy of this movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't in a theater. It wasn't on video. It wasn't on Laserdisc. There was no internet. There was no streaming. It wasn't on cable. You couldn't see these fucking... Now, what movie can you not see now? And I know there are things that sort of disappear and you can never see again. But between, Netflix and Amazon and The cable channels that run all these movies every minute. You can kind of see anything at any time.
Speaking of old-fashioned media.
And I love it. That's great.
I still buy every box set of Mystery Science Theater that comes out.
Okay.
Because it was it's one of my all-time favorite shows.
Okay.
I love MST3K. It's a great show.
And I have the first 8 seasons of The Simpsons on DVD.
Okay. There were 200 some episodes of Mystery Science Theater. So they're putting them out 4 at a time. Yeah. And we'll eventually be done in like 2017.
Yeah.
But so I buy those just because I like, and they have a bunch of extras on them and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could go on YouTube right now and watch any single episode
that
I wanted.
Right.
And those took forever to come out on DVD because of the rights to the movies. But you're right. It's all on YouTube right now.
Well, I bought the box set of all the Twilight Zones. Guess what? They're all on Netflix and they're in high definition, which they weren't on DVD. So it's great.
I know.
All right. I thought you said you watched the trailer for Constantine, which is a new show.
Oh, that's a new NBC show, which is based on a DC comic.
Oh.
They made a shitty movie
with Keanu Reeves. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember the Keanu Reeves movie.
This is going to be the year of comic book shows.
Well, yeah, Gotham is on Fox.
Gotham's on Fox. CW's got Flash, Green Arrow.
Yeah.
CW's become, I don't know when this happened.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all like sci-fi for girls.
Well... Wasn't Smallville kind of that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a CW. Was that the CW? Or was that
Might have been WB.
Yeah, something that disappeared. Yeah,
and then became the CW.
Yeah,
but anyway, was that UPN merged with Warner Brothers? Is that what it was?
Well, there was UPN. Mm-hmm. They both had acronyms. Do you know what the acronyms were?
What?
The WB was Weird Black. Well, those were originally black stations because that was an audience they were looking for, and then they eventually became TV for Girls and have Vampire Diaries and Smallville and Arrow.
Well, it's all like sci-fi for girls, though. It's all like
Gotham looks okay from the trailer. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to watch that every week.
CW is obviously Warner Brothers owns it.
Sure, yeah.
So I get why they're putting DC stuff on there because they own that, but. Now Constantine is going to be on NBC.
Well, and
which is a show that should be by all rights on AMC or FX or one of those.
Okay,
it's about a guy who goes. He's got magic powers. He's kind of like John Tenney, but with actual powers. He's kind of like he's a paranormal investigator, but he can do some magic tricks and stuff. And goes to hell. It looks. The trailer made it look like the comic books.
Right.
So it looks, at least they got, like, Keanu Reeves was in the movie, and the guy is, like, British in the comics. And
okay, yeah, so they need it.
They drew him to look like Sting. And so, you know, the guy in the show looks good. He looks like the character. That I might watch that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't, My
mom likes Grimm. That's a show very similar.
That's kind of for girls, too.
It's like Monster of the Week. I don't get that. There's a Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, speaking of
girls.
There's
a lot of sci-fi for girls. That's
fine.
Girls got dorky.
Well,
except black ladies. Their sci-fi is scandal.
Here's the difference with girls. Girls will fall for the serial nature of shows more than guys will. And that's a problem, and I've been screaming about this forever, is I just go like, you know, I don't want to watch, you know what I mean? Like, somebody says, like, you got to watch Breaking Bad. I can't go watch Breaking Bad that's on TV tonight. Mm-hmm. I got to go back to season one, episode one, that show Justified, people tell me to watch. I can't just go watch Justified that's on now. I got to go back to this episode.
There's a million
and I go, you know what, F you. The Wire, F you. I'm done. I'm out. I might come back in another life. I'll fucking watch The Wire then. I'm not now. This life's full, baby. I ain't got time for The Wire. Go F yourself.
The Wire was a fine show.
I'm out.
But look.
I'm not saying it's not fine, but I'm saying women will follow. Women will do that. But women will do that. Women will sit down for an afternoon and go like, oh, I've got 2 seasons of Entourage to get through. I can do it. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else to do. I can't do it.
I'm working on this as a full bit.
Oh!
So everybody relax. I'm going to claim ownership of this.
No.
But I got to tell you, I spent my entire from the time I got pubes.
Yeah.
Till, you know, my early 20s when I realized all you had to do was be a little bit mean to get girls.
Yeah.
I was told, oh, you read comic books?
Oh.
Oh, you like Star Trek?
Yeah.
Oh, you nerd.
Yeah.
Now, all of you bitches are watching vampire shows.
But it's
you're all watching shows about fairy tales. You're watching the goddamn Green Arrow show. You watch Game of Thrones, which is a fucking fantasy novel series.
And listen, all they've done with those things is made them suck. Which makes girls want to watch them. That's all they've done with them.
Game of Thrones.
And when I say suck, I mean, I'm not being specific enough, but yeah, they serialize them. They cast people who are way too good looking to be, you know, maybe the original characters that they were designed. Sure. All that shit. I mean, come on. All
right. I resisted Game of Thrones for a long time.
Did you start watching Game of Thrones?
I started watching Game of Thrones.
Well, then you've replaced me as a viewer. They lost me in game view. Yeah.
Right. That show, to me, there's a few too many stabbings and beheadings and shit. And I'm like they left a baby in the woods the other week. Okay. And I was like, we're getting too far with this.
Okay.
But all that show did is they took fantasy novels, which I read when I was 14, and they put more fucking in them.
Yeah, they kind of did,
And that's the only difference. Lord of the Rings, there's no fucking.
No fucking.
Lord of the Rings is hobbits walking around the earth, looking around, talking about singing songs to each other.
Right.
And it's like a bromance. And once in a while in a fantasy novel, you'd be like, there'd be the elfin ranger who'd have feelings for the queen.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't be explicit romance.
Sure, yeah.
All Game of Thrones did was like, we'll just take all of that shit, we'll have dragons, we'll have giants and frost giants and all that shit, and we'll just have some fucking in it.
Well,
and girls are into it now.
The characters are more real in the sense that not everything is single-minded. You know, in traditional fantasy, you would have the single-mindedness. The heroes want to complete the quest.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guys are trying to interfere with the hero's completion of the quest. Now, when you have Game of Thrones, now you have people are fucking. I should be completing the quest, but this elf has nice tits, so I'm going to go fuck her for a while. And so you get into
more
the ambiguities of the story.
Well,
that's why it's not as good in that. It's not as pure as that original fantasy, which didn't perfectly have those elements.
It's perfectly in the HBO drama format, though. It's much. Yeah, sure, it's exact. Yeah, yeah. All it is it's got they've got dragons in Boardwalk Empire.
Absolutely,
because Boardwalk Empire, there's really no through line for the story. There's no. In fact, that plotting on that show is pretty weak.
Well, I mean, Boardwalk Empire is kind of the same thing where you have. We're the good guys or we're the bad. Actually, they're all bad guys kind of on Boardwalk
Empire.
There's
no good guys.
There's just different teams of bad guys, and you want the team, you know, the Steve Buscemi team you root for, but they get distracted by pussy, just like the characters on Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. and they go fuck, and while they're fucking, the bad guys are in the hallway outside the door, and they shoot the guy in the head as he's laying there naked.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much Boardwalk Empire, but I still think that's my favorite drama that's on TV. Because I think I'm ready to announce this now. I think I'm ready to come. Can I say this now officially? It's big for me.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say this now. I hope everybody's... Everybody sitting down. I think I'm giving up on Walking Dead. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. I've officially stopped watching Walking Dead.
Welcome to where I am.
I'm very proud.
Because I gave up
on Walking Dead. You can start watching now, Corey.
No, I gave up on Walking Dead a long time ago.
Well, I don't know that I gave up. I actually stopped watching it out of, like, I didn't have time. And I probably left like 3 episodes on the DVR, mm-hmm. and then the DVR filled up and deleted those episodes, so I never saw them. Yeah. And so, I mean, I know they'll put them on Netflix before the new season starts, but I think I'm done.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I think I'm out.
I resisted Breaking Bad for a long time. Well, I started
Walking Dead.
No, I'm saying
you're talking about Breaking Dead.
When Breaking Bad first came out, I watched it.
Yes.
And it was okay.
Yes.
And then I kind of lost interest, as everybody did.
Yes.
Because the first season tailed off on that show, and nobody really cared.
Sure.
And then every fucking slapdick on earth started talking about how great Breaking Bad was.
Yeah.
And I refused to believe that all of those dummies could be right.
Yeah.
Well, then I went back and watched all of Breaking Bad, and it was fabulous.
Okay.
Fantastic show. Yeah. One of the best finales I've ever seen for any TV series. I would put that in the top 10 of any TV show I've ever seen. Great show.
Yeah.
The fucking Walking Dead, no. Everybody talks about that. And it's this, they wander around and do nothing.
Okay, here's the thing. The pilot, which is a 90-minute pilot of Walking Dead, is probably the single best zombie movie ever made.
It's really good.
The first season is very good. Season 2 was a piece of goddamn shit. Season 3 kind of got good, and then season 4, which is the last one, kind of turned a piece of shit. So they're sort of on and off.
It's the problem every series has.
It is.
When you get into your third season, you've established the premise.
Yeah.
You've probably taken the characters on an arc. And then in Walking Dead, they sit around that fucking prison.
The problem was, do
nothing.
But in season 2, they sat around the farm because they decided, oh, this can't be a 6 episode. You know, when the show got popular, they said it can't be 6 episodes anymore. It's got to be, you know, they extended the show, so the whole pacing had to slow down in order because there's only so much plot because Walking Dead is based on a graphic novel.
Right.
While it's not explicit to what happened in the graphic novel,
they
hit certain plot points and introduce characters at the same time and characters die at the same time as they did. So they're trying to sort of match. It hasn't worked to me.
I haven't
for really the last 3 seasons, so I think I'm probably done.
I haven't seen it yet, but Mark Maron's show, the first episode is him on The Talking Dead.
Okay.
So there you go. Then you have Chris Hardwick. More Chris Hardwick in your
life. There you go. Well, speaking of, why is he not the host of everything?
I don't know.
He kind of is the host of everything.
Guy's already got 11 jobs.
I'm going to make an announcement. I hate to announce. Should I announce this here? I guess I will. Chris Hardwick is going to start hosting Joel Radio. It's been real, people. Thank you so much. He's actually taking over the show.
Yeah, it's about time.
And I will be. Okay. Let's move on. Review Godzilla. Come on, let's do it.
Oh, God.
An hour and a half in. Let's come on. It's the big movie of the week. It's expected to be the big movie of the summer. In fact, let's preface Godzilla by talking about Spider-Man. Spider-Man is a movie that came out. I haven't seen it. I will die in the same state of not seeing it as I speak to you right now. I could give two shits. They made a movie that apparently self-destructs in 72 hours. They've made a movie. Hollywood has gotten to the point where now that Spider-Man movie will never be viewed by another single soul on the face of the earth as long as we all live. They've made these movies completely fucking disposable. It's a movie that comes out, you watch it for a weekend, you say, oh, that sucked. Then everyone will make the next Spider-Man. How long does it take for people to forget that the last one sucked? Yeah, that's when the next one comes out. Enjoy your fucking shit, comic book fanboys. All right, your thoughts.
I'm just looking on the stats on Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm guessing a 57 Metacritic.
Oh, I'm looking at the box office.
Okay. No, that's what I mean. It made $5 billion, and it should. That's what it does. That's what happens with this.
Well, that's because the rest of the world isn't very...
You can blame the rest of the world. The rest of the world, it's 1975.
All of the shit, all of the shit that I hate about the Spider-Man movies,
yeah.
Jamie Foxx, okay?
Okay.
The Spider-Man movie, if you want a brief review,
okay.
I actually liked Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
I thought he was good.
Sure.
I liked Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Their stuff together was great.
Yeah.
When they were having a relationship, you know, whatever.
Okay.
All the relationship stuff was fairly good. The action in the first segment was great.
Okay.
Then Jamie Foxx shows up and starts shooting blue electricity out of his ass. And it's awful. His character is lame. It's a dork. He makes no sense.
Yeah.
All of the villains,
yeah.
They're like, we're going to have these Spider-Man villains and we're going to completely change them so you don't recognize them.
Yeah.
And make them, they're just fucking awful.
Yeah.
So the villains were terrible in that thing.
Right.
You're right. This is now what, the fifth Spider-Man movie?
It would be, yeah, since
Raimi made them.
Yeah.
So right. In like 10 years, you've had
they're
five
coming out
Spider-Man
every
movies.
2 to 3 years, so, there's a new Spider-Man.
You know, it's like James Bond.
Yeah.
Another James Bond? Who gives a shit?
Well, here's the difference with Bond is that the Bond worked when they got those certain elements that changed about James Bond. When they got those right, it worked. And maybe Spider-Man, like Batman seems to work. When the Batman villain is good, usually that Batman movie is good. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that safe to say? I mean, people liked, you know.
Well, they can't get the villains right. The
Heath Ledger
is right.
The Joker. People liked. That was the biggest Batman movie. Mm-hmm. They come back, the next Batman, the villain not so good. Who was the next villain? Was it Harvey Dent? I forget.
Well, no, because they blew him off in that.
Who was the villain in
Bane? Dent? It was
Bane. Yeah, and Bane people didn't like. So then they go. Okay. So my point is with Spider-Man is they literally are now just making these movies. They have a 3-day shelf life. They go, we're going to make all this money in 3 days, and then it's over.
Well, part of the thing with Spider-Man is that Sony has the rights to it.
Yeah.
And they have to keep churning out movies.
Right.
Or Marvel will get the rights back.
I understand that.
So what you do, but you have a product that doesn't have a reason to exist.
Right, but it's not, this problem is not exclusive to Spider-Man.
No.
This is the X-Men.
It's happening for a lot of franchises.
It's Batman. It's happening to Superman.
Sure.
If people would like to, it's funny that, you know, Superman comes out and everyone hates it. And they seem to put Superman, although I guess Superman is getting its sequel, right, in form of Superman.
Well, it's going to have Batman in it.
But, you know, I just go... You know, no one seems to, and I'm fine with that. But this is what you have to do. If I'm the president, this is the law.
Uh-huh.
All X-Men movies will just be called X-Men. All Spider-Man movies will just be called Spider-Man. All Riddick movies will just be called Riddick. They'll come out every 2 to 3 years. That's all they'll be called. All Fast and Furious movies will all be called Fast and Furious because it doesn't matter. People go, it's X-Men. Take my money, sit down. I don't like it. Thank you. I come back in 2 years when you make your next one.
Well, I am, of course, a huge fan of that material.
Right.
And I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to see another X-Men
movie. It's enough. But
But here we are with the X-Men.
Yeah.
We've now had Hugh Jackman's been in like 12 of these.
Right.
Things.
He's been
and
in
he's
so
going
to
be over. He's done with it.
This is his sixth X-Men, the one that's coming out.
So we're gonna go and
by my count.
Okay,
and
so then, what now? Much like James,
and I'm not counting the first the junior X-Men where he was in it for 2 seconds.
Right,
I'm not counting that. I'm talking.
But he's had two Wolverine movies.
Right, he had three X-Men. The first three X-Men,
X-Men movies.
Two Wolverines, yeah. And now the new one. So yeah,
so he's
six
done,
X-Men's.
He's done his bit with the X-Men, I would say.
And I just go like, it's enough of this. But all these movies do is they exist to make money. And yet there's still this internet culture of people who are going to go, why aren't these good? Why isn't this good? Why isn't this good? No one's making them to be good.
Well, you know what, though? Captain America was good.
Okay. I didn't see the newest one. The first one I liked a lot.
There's a difference.
The first Captain America
And you know what? And people liked this second Captain America because it was well done.
Well,
and what Marvel did is they figured this out.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to not really make superhero movies.
Yeah.
Captain America is like a Bourne movie.
Yeah.
That happens to have a little bit of superpowers.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like a spy movie.
Okay.
So they really just decided, we'll take this as a platform to tell other stories. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a crazy sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
They're like, we can use this. DC got their thumb up their fucking asses.
And the only thing, can't do anything with
their
Superman movies. But most people seem to enjoy the origin story. and the rest of the stories can fuck off. You're just going to get more origin stories. I mean, how many Superman origin movies have there been now?
Enough.
And you know, and Spider-Man has had enough origin stories.
Right. But you guess
and
what?
And the X-Men are having origin stories.
In 4 years, Andrew Garfield will be like, I'm done with this.
And they'll do a new,
reboot of Spider-Man.
Enough. It's a goddamn enough.
I know.
Go ahead, watch your goddamn. I challenge. And it's funny that, you know, the people that love these movies the most are people that claim to want them to be good. And I don't get that at all. My feeling is if you're spending your money on X-Men, you could have taken that money and watched something else that would be good. Now, granted, are the options at the multiplex at this time of year a whole fucking lot? Probably not.
Oh, we'll get to the options.
And you know what? And so I sort of get that, but I also kind of go like, look, all you're doing is, you know what? People hate. It's funny when people say they hate Walmart, they hate corporate greed, they hate the haves versus the have-nots. But when you look at these movies, that's all that
that's
is.
That's all anybody wants.
That's all Spider-Man is. That's all it is. It's Sony wants to make money. That's all it is.
It's to the point where I have a Spider-Man coffee mug at home.
Sure.
You know, I was raised on the teat of Marvel Comics and DC Comics. I have an inherent emotional attachment to it on some level, the same way guys do with Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to the point where I'm old enough.
Yeah. You know, and Star Wars, again, which was, you know, my favorite movie as a kid and my favorite series as a kid. Look, I think that, look, at this point, you know, if that original trilogy, meaning episodes 1 through 3, taught us anything, is that, you know what, Star Wars doesn't have to be good to make money. Yeah. And that's kind of, in that sense, it's become everything else. So, you know, Star Wars, which used to be kind of this sacred thing that I walk around with, and I'll still think that original Star Wars movie, and to a somewhat lesser extent, but still very good, the first two sequels, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, I still hold those up as a certain high water mark for film franchises.
But you know what?
And
I can't go anywhere near those.
Well, I know, and it's painful.
I am
sick. Yeah.
To fucking death.
Exactly.
I have Star Wars. Every soccer mom.
Yeah.
Likes that.
Yeah,
May the 4th be with you.
I know that's ridiculous.
I wanted to kick everybody in the pussy with
that. I know.
I fucking
the same way.
Hate Star Wars.
Exactly.
With a white hot. And you know why I hate Star Wars?
Yeah.
Because of the fucking queers that like it.
Nah,
we know a couple of them who have got Star Wars tattoos
who
are dedicated to this wookie fucky.
Yeah.
I hate Star Wars.
The problem.
It's something I loved, Joel.
Well,
and like Darth Vader. I'm like Darth Vader. I'm a hollow mechanical shell
Star
of a man
Wars, Star
who
Wars,
used to love Star Wars.
Here's a problem with Star Wars, too, that makes me hate it, is that I can't even enjoy the original Star Wars now.
No, they fucking...
I don't have a way of watching... Now, I had the laser... When I talk about Laserdiscs, the Laserdiscs were the definitive version of that original trilogy because that was before they went in and did the special editions with all the new CGI. And then when they did the Blu-rays, which you would have thought, hey, here's an opportunity to rectify some mistakes we've made in the past. Oh, fuck no, we're going to change more stuff. So basically, I can't watch that Star Wars that I saw as a kid. I can't watch the Empire Strikes Back or the Return of the Jedi as I watched as a kid. So you know what? I just won't watch it now. And I'm okay with that. And will I watch Episode 7 that J.J. Abrams directs? Sure. Am I going to expect it to be good? Absolutely not. And I fell for that Episode 1 bullshit. I fell for the hype. And I fell for the hype all three times the new trilogy came out. I said, well, this one might finally be good. This one finally might be good. And did I enjoy those on some level?
Oh.
On some level, and probably Episode 3 way more than the others.
You know what? They were kind of enjoyable while I was sitting in the theater.
But you know what? It's whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's big oil. It's the same fucking goddamn thing. It is what it is.
Believe me, I'm in the heart of the madness.
You need to
made a career decision, and I said, I love movies. Let me go watch movies. And now it's a punishment.
Well,
all right, getting to a franchise.
Right, talk about
that
Godzilla.
I have loved.
Talk about Godzilla.
Since the day I was born, I loved Godzilla as
a little
boy.
By the way, Godzilla is another franchise that, like, well, what's the, it's not Godzilla. I think it's King Kong where I go. King Kong has fans. And Godzilla, but, like, there's never been a good King Kong. And all they do is people are nostalgic for King Kong, and they haven't seen King Kong. Right. And I feel like Godzilla is something that while you sit down and watch all the old Godzillas,
sure,
there's probably many people who've never seen a Godzilla all the way through and yet claim they like it. So go ahead.
Well, I think most people probably remember it as a kid as being on TV and seeing a clip of it.
You watch 5 minutes.
Watch a couple minutes of
Godzilla knocks over a skyscraper.
Speaking of fucking franchises.
Yeah.
Godzilla starred, the first Godzilla movie was in 1954.
Yeah.
There have been 28 Toho-produced Godzilla movies. One stupid TriStar movie, and now this.
Yeah.
And I love Godzilla on a fundamental level.
Sure.
As a kid, I loved it. It always spoke to me. I like cheesy, the whole camp aspect of it.
Yeah.
This is the best Godzilla movie that's ever been.
Good.
It is by far what they, here's what it is. The Japanese movies in the 90s started moving into this more kind of poetical. They tried to take it more seriously in most of the cases. In the 70s, it was real campy. There was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. They were real silly.
When I talk about people who have never seen a Godzilla all the way through, I'm probably in that boat too. When I think about it, because I didn't see the night, I didn't see the Matthew Broderick.
Well, that's a
Godzilla.
Piece of shit,
right? And that's why I didn't see it. But I probably haven't watched the 70s or the 60s Godzilla in God knows when either.
They were
on television.
And believe me, they looked cheap then.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they look absurdly cheap, and that's why I like it.
Sure.
Again, I like camp.
I liked Johnny Sacco, and I like some of those.
Sure.
Those
Ultraman.
Ultraman and that kind of stuff. I was a fan of those things.
I'm a big fan of that stuff.
Inframan.
I
saw all that stuff.
Oh yeah, Inframan.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good one.
That's a good. That's
Princess
a good
Dragon
one.
Mom. Look, I am the target audience for this stuff as much as the superheroes.
Yeah.
I think this is a really good Godzilla.
Good
movie.
And good.
And it's a good blockbuster popcorn picture.
But you know what? They made the die was cast. They made three good Godzilla movies that weren't Godzilla movies, that weren't called Godzilla.
Pacific
Cloverfield.
Rim.
I'm saying Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm.
Super 8, which, okay, not
somewhat
exactly Godzilla, but somewhat.
Genre.
And Monsters, which was the same guy who just made this
Gareth
Godzilla.
Gareth Edwards. Right.
Those are all really good modern-day monster movies, which sort of showed that Godzilla could actually be good.
I had some problems with the acting in Monsters.
Okay.
But this guy, Gareth Edwards, has a brilliant...
Yeah.
Now, they always say, oh, that Brett Ratner, he's a great visual storyteller. Oh, that Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Those guys are garbage.
Yeah.
McG. Those guys are hot, buttered garbage. It all looks like a CeeLo video. It's all just a bunch of, you know what I mean? It's all just hyped up crap.
Who's the guy
Michael Bay was the guy that
made Watch?
Oh, Zack Snyder, who's
Zack
doing
Snyder,
the Superman.
Put him on
Batman
the shit
movies.
Pile, too. Well, he made Man of Steel.
Well, he made 300, which everybody was like, well, that's great. And then every fucking jerk off knocked off that 300.
And listen, Watchmen I liked, so
I liked Watchmen.
I like Watchmen.
I didn't think
and
it was great.
I want to like that guy, but yeah, apparently
he sucks, compared
to
that
too.
Superman movie, I loved Watchmen. Yeah. Anyway. But anybody who they always go, what a great visual. Michael Bay is amazing.
Yeah.
Michael Bay is the worst. Michael Bay is worse than these Jack Doritos. Gareth Edwards is actually a very good visual filmmaker.
Yeah.
There are some moments in this Godzilla movie that are actually literally beautiful and poetic.
Yeah.
There's Chinatown gets smashed, and there's a great shot of a big Chinese dragon sinking under the water. There's a gorgeous scene where they halo jump that's in the trailers. It looks fabulous.
Yeah.
I don't know what budget they gave him. He made Monsters for $11.10.
Yeah, that movie.
And it looked great.
Yeah, you should really see Monsters. I think you should. I haven't seen Godzilla like you did, but you should see Monsters, I think, before you go see Godzilla. Is that fair to say?
Definitely, if you're interested in Godzilla, watch Monsters.
And I think it's on Netflix. Let me look it up as you're talking.
But. I had some quibbles with the acting in it, but anyway. This is, okay, so aside from the first Godzilla movie, some of the early Godzilla movies had famous Japanese actors like Takeshi Shimura, who was in Seven Samurai. Anyway, he was a big Kurosawa player. Well, back in the studio system in Japan, some of the better Japanese actors would be in the movies. But generally not exactly known for acting. This has an outstanding cast, this new Godzilla movie. Juliette Binoche. Bryan Cranston. David Strathairn. Sally Hawkins. Ken Watanabe. It's a great cast of really solid actors. So, although most of them have to stand around and do the typical, these ratings are off the chart. I don't understand. Where's all this radiation coming from? We've got to find Godzilla. It's not a big evolution in terms of that kind of stuff. It's still basically a Godzilla movie, but they got really good actors to stand around and look scared. And so they, you are convinced that this is really happening, right. To some degree.
Sure.
It gets a little silly. The Navy's plan to deal with Godzilla and the other, there's other monsters.
Yeah.
Is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard, but it all works because the effects are really good.
Yeah. His effects are so good in Monsters.
It takes Now, the scale might be a little bit of an issue sometimes.
Right.
Godzilla seems
Pacific Rim,
large.
I thought the problem with that was the fighting in Pacific Rim was great. It was the people standing around talking was pretty awful in Pacific Rim.
This is better.
Yeah, good.
And,
I'm glad.
And the Bryan Cranston is terrific.
Yeah.
When it gets away from Bryan Cranston, it loses a little bit of steam.
Okay.
But he's like a paranoid... He was at a working...
How's Elizabeth Olsen?
Elizabeth Olsen is fine. She's actually... Good. She's good. Very presentable, good.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, who was in Kick-Ass,
yeah.
He's a little bit of a dummy.
Yeah, I don't know about him.
He's the hero, but a lot of his work is... He's a demolitions expert. I mean, it's very cliche.
Okay.
He's got to wait around and go, I don't know, can I defuse this bomb? So he doesn't have a lot to do, but... Well, he does a lot of action. He's got a lot of running around and just barely not being stepped on by Godzilla, but... I think it's excellent popcorn movie.
All right.
Very well done. Is it high art? No.
Yeah.
But it's as good a quality Godzilla movie as we could ever expect.
All right.
I would endorse Godzilla.
I'm going to go.
As a dork fan who's watched
before we do our next show.
Almost all 28 Godzilla movies.
I will have seen Godzilla. Right. By the way, the Monsters update is apparently if you live outside the U.S., you can watch it on YouTube, which is through Magnet Releasing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's only available as a streaming rental from Google, Apple, Vudu, the Sony Entertainment Network.
Oh, you can
Network.
Already watch Monsters?
You can watch Monsters, not Godzilla. The DVD is available through Netflix, but is not streaming on Netflix. And apparently, if you go on Amazon and you want to buy the DVD, it must be out of print because it's $63 for a used copy of Monsters.
Wow.
Apparently, the movie's out of print. And my guess is that when Godzilla hits home video, which will probably be in the fall... That they'll reissue Monsters as well on Blu-ray and stuff, so you'll be able to see that too. But I go ahead and rent it now. It's worth the $3. It's a great movie. So, all right. Anything else? Oh, I'll review something. Speaking of Netflix,
yeah.
I love rock and roll documentaries. You know it. That's the number. That's my favorite. Got a good one for you, Muscle Shoals.
Okay,
Muscle Shoals, real
famous,
good movie.
Soul recording studio.
Well, it's a studio in Alabama. It's actually a town in Alabama.
A lot of different people recording.
It's a town in Alabama. And there was, just watch the movie. A lot of great music came out of there. One of their famous early hit was, and a lot of it was because they had a band that played on most of the records. So the artists, they would fly down these artists.
It's session guys.
Yeah, like Atlantic would send down their guys, and the session guys were called the Swampers. Mm-hmm. And they were a bunch of white guys. And they played on all these R&B and soul singles. Some of the most famous songs of all time, like Respect by Aretha Franklin. The big one was A Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge was one of their first records that they made. And they went on, and the band ended up opening their own studio, which became Muscle Shoals Studios. And the Rolling Stones went there, and they recorded Wild Horses and Brown Sugar there. The Allman Brothers Band was formed in Muscle Shoals.
I wish this was a visual medium.
Yeah, why is that?
Because you can see Joel's pants stiffening. As he talks.
No, it's a great movie.
All right. Inside Music Dorky.
Well, so what? That's my show. I'm not on somebody else's show doing all this. I'm on my own show. So if you like, and it hits lots of genres of music. Paul Simon recorded there. Lynyrd Skynyrd recorded their first album there. It's a great story. If you like, the movie Sound City is kind of similar to that, which Dave Grohl made. And so Sound City's been playing on Palladia lately. I thought it was a little bit better than Sound City. I actually think it's way better than, even though it won the Oscar, and while I recommend it, it's better than 20 Feet from Stardom. It's better than Sound City. I think it's a great story, Muscle Shoals.
I'll check it out.
And even though it doesn't sound like something you might care about, you would like it too, because
I know.
Everybody likes the records that came out of there, even if you don't know what they are.
I mean, I knew what Muscle Shoals meant. Yeah.
So go ahead and watch Muscle Shoals. It's on Netflix, and it's great. And
did you see Jack White with his recording booth?
Okay. First of all, what am I going to say here? I'm trying to think of something dumber I've ever seen in my entire life than Jack White. Here's the thing. Jimmy Fallon tried to feign that that was cool and couldn't even get away. Jimmy Fallon was under his breath laughing. Of so Jack White, he they got this recording booth. Mm-hmm. What they used to have is you used to be able to go into a record store and make your own record. And this was back in the early days of the 30s.
40s and 50s.
And even the Beatles, the Quarrymen, made a record.
Right. Elvis did one.
Elvis, yeah. And they used to do these in a booth. The Beatles did theirs in a guy's studio, but it was basically the same thing. It was recorded directly to vinyl.
And didn't that
or
record
acetate.
Get lost or something?
No, Paul ended up buying it. It was Paul in spite of all the danger.
It got passed around.
It got passed around. One guy had it, and then Paul bought it from him, and it ended up on the anthology and stuff. So anyway. So they had this booth that Jack White goes, I'm going to recondition this booth. And try to get big artists to come, and it's literally a phone booth. So Neil Young, who's another pretentious ass, and I say that as fans of both Jack White and Neil Young, I really have liked. I've been to many White Stripes concerts and always had a good time.
Could Jack have been more obnoxious on that interview?
He's an idiot. Neil Young, who I like and I think is a great musician, I love so much of what he's done. I don't love everything he does. He comes off as a real douche just because, you know, he's Mr. Vinyl. He's Mr. Now he's got this Pono fucking thing. Don't get me started on Pono. Mm-hmm. I'll fucking do a whole show. I'll do 8 hours. You can go home. Okay. I'll do Pono for 8 hours and what an ass he is. Okay. So he records this album, and what they're going to do is they recorded it directly to vinyl, and I guess they clone the vinyl to make these box sets. Mm-hmm. And Jack White's like, yeah, it's just a Polaroid of Neil. And then we just write on it with a marker, and that's the package. And they show it on Jimmy Fallon. I go, okay. So he goes, and all I did is these solo acoustic covers, guitar, harmonica. And I go, I'm kind of down. He did a Springsteen song. He did My Hometown. He did a bunch of other Willie Nelson stuff. And I go, I'm down for this. I can't wait to watch this. And then they go to where they're going to perform, and they wheel out the fucking box. I assume did you assume he was going to be in the box, or did you think he was going to be on stage with a guitar? Maybe him and Jack were going to play together.
No, he went and recorded in the box.
But did you think before they went to the box, did you think they were going to record? I thought they were just going to.
No, they said they're going to record in the box.
See, I guess I joined it later and only for that segment. But I assume Neil was just going to stand out there and play a song, and maybe Jack was going to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they wheel out the fucking box.
Yeah.
And then they got these like GoPro cameras in the box looking at Neil Young playing. I forget what song he played. Crazy, right? But
crazy.
The Patsy songs, which is a Willie song originally.
Which he just did recordings. He did covers.
Yeah, he did covers
and
of all these great
it's funny
songs.
Because when he said, like, I just recorded a bunch of covers of songwriters that influenced me, the first name that came to my head was Willie Nelson.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And I was like, I bet he did some Willie Nelson.
Yeah, he did
two Willie Nelson.
And it was just like, so they wheel out this box, and Jimmy can barely keep a straight face because they put Neil Young in this box. And it literally looks like a magician's trick. Like, how is he going to get out of the box? Like, I was thinking Neil Young was going to disappear and a tiger was going to appear in the box. Like, I was trying to figure out exactly what was going to happen. But it's like he's standing in a box playing crazy. And, of course, the way that they mic it, they got some sort of output from the thing. So you hear it, all the pops and the cracks of the vine. And it was like this whole thing is just retarded. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the history of television. And of course it's on Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy's completely off the hook. Jimmy's completely off the hook in this.
If I had money,
he's the only one that had any dignity in that segment at all.
If I had Jack White's millions and I sit around and I would go, that'd be a cool thing to have.
Sure.
If I had a record studio.
Throw Neil in it and make an album. I got no problem with that.
But watching it on TV.
But it's a television show, you ass. Not to mention, and if I can look, and then look, Jack, again, I'm a fan of Jack, I like it, but and you're gonna dump on me for this, but look, he managed to take the Insane Clown Posse. Okay. Hold on a second. He made the worst Insane Clown Posse record ever made. Was made by Jack White at Third Man Studios. He invited him down it was two songs and they were so bad. And, you know, it's like, why even do that? You know, look, I get that ICP shouldn't have dignity. I get that. I get that everyone wants to dump on
you
them.
You get that?
Say,
really?
But you know what? I know that when ICP makes a record, because I'm in the studio with these guys, I see them make their records. I see, you know, Mikey Clark producing them. Mm-hmm. And I know that they really try to make those records good. Whether they succeed or not, I know that there's a lot of thought. There's a lot of time put in.
Sure.
Mikey Clark really is a musical genius. The guy's a brilliant musician and an arranger and a producer. Mm-hmm. And then I see what Jack White does with these guys, and I go, well, you're such a dick. You really just want them there. It's every, but all of these projects that Jack White does, whether it be ICP or Neil Young,
all vanity stuff, yeah.
It's all stuff that makes Jack look good. Mm-hmm. It's never something that really does the artist any good. It's really just good for Jack. I'm the coolest guy. And look, I'm all for innovation. I'm all for fun stuff. You know, look, we're podcasters. We've innovated in so many goddamn ways. I can't tell you how many guys I got to tell, like, you know, I was the first comedian to do a podcast.
You know,
and
you
guys
know,
look at me like I'm the biggest ass, even though it's completely fucking true.
We need to find a way to document this and prove it to
everybody.
It's
on our goddamn website.
No, I know.
There's
but
a show
it,
from...
If you say it...
2000... I know.
If
I
you
know.
Say it, no one believes it.
You sound
we
like
need
an ass.
Someone else to document
this. I had this guy, Howard Kramer, last night at the castle, who has a big podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, he was doing stuff. Kids were yelling out shit from the podcast for him to do. And he's like, well, I go... So I come back. I go, how do they know all your bits? He goes, oh, it's a podcast. And I went like, I'd even bring it up to him. I was just like, yeah, whatever. I don't want to say that.
No, 9 years of podcasting, no fucking success. No one cares. We could die alone.
Well, listen.
A friend of mine, a guy we know is a nice guy, is an open micer, was like, hey, what would I do if I got into podcast? What should I talk about if I got into podcasting?
Yeah.
I said, talk about how Joel and I have been doing it since 2005.
Oh, did you
and
really
I,
say
I did.
That?
I put it on his board.
Oh,
and he was shamed because he got into it 10 years too late.
Listen, here's my feeling for the pod. If you want to get into it, fine. We can get into it. The future of this podcast, Corey, what is going to make... Oh, you want to eat a Strawberry Fields Tic Tac when you're over?
Looking with
did you see that there's Strawberry Fields Tic Tacs?
I see. Okay. Which, the Beatles gimmick. All right.
Believe me. You know what those taste like? You know what those taste like? If you took a vinyl copy of Strawberry Fields and you crunched it up in your
and
mouth,
you licked it.
That's as good as those Strawberry Tic Tacs. Listen,
right.
The future of this show, Corey, I feel our innovation is in eating weird foods. I think that is taking us to the top.
Mm.
I think there's a momentum. There's a momentum in Oreos.
Yeah, which we've only been doing.
There is
for the last 9 years.
But we have to go whole hog, Corey. We can't pussyfoot around the Lay's chicken and waffle potato chips anymore, Corey. We have to go full. We have to go all in with that.
Well,
I think I
would recommend to new podcasters if you're gonna have success in the format that we've been doing for 10 years.
Yes,
is to have a theme.
Sure,
have a gimmick, have a hook.
I've got that.
That is one problem I think we never had.
All right,
we were just a general all-purpose
possible hooks.
Comedy show. Call your show the chicken fuckers. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? The date rape enthusiasm hour.
All right.
And have a gimmick and a hook and be like, you know what every week we do?
Yeah.
Is we stick a fishing hook through a candy bar and we try to take a bite out. Whatever, just have some hook.
All right.
People like
repetitions. Let's pick one hook and we'll do that from here on out. Do you want to do regular TV shows that I can beat off to? Do you want to do that as a theme? We'll do that every week. Do you want to do
been
that
doing
every
that
week?
As a theme.
Okay, forget about that. Do you want to do Steve Harvey and how he's not funny? That could be a whole show. Do you want to do that? Would that
we
we'll
just
do that.
Did a whole show.
No, but we'll
that.
Do that every. I'm saying we'll come down each week. We'll analyze how bad Steve Harvey is, and that'll be the show. That could be the show.
Uh-huh.
You can insert Jimmy Fallon into that. Would you want to talk about how bad Jimmy Fallon is? What theme can we pick?
I think we should call the new show Ferndale Finger Blasters. And every week we get blindfolded and we stick our fingers in a girl and try and guess which one it is. We'll have three girls.
That's I just went
innovation.
I just went on iTunes. There's 12 of those already.
Oh,
can you come up with something new?
Oh, damn it.
Is there anything, Corey, that we can innovate?
Well, let me do something innovative. I got two more movies to talk about before
fine.
End this 9-hour show.
They were 2 hours, but it's fine.
All right. We talked about Godzilla. We talked
we're
about
averaging
Spider-Man.
An hour a month of me and you sitting here.
Hey,
so
what do you do? this is, let me tell you. So people who think that Spider-Man and Godzilla are silly, ridiculous premises.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about the worst film I've seen in many years.
Okay.
Maybe not many years. I've seen Adam Sandler movies.
You have.
I've seen
By the way, the upcoming Adam Sandler movie, forget about. By the way, we're blocking out everything the week that's in. That
Blended.
You got 2 hours to run wild on fucking Blended.
Okay. Obviously there have been worse movies I've seen.
Yeah.
But I can't remember not liking a movie more. I had an intense itchy dislike of this film.
Yeah.
It is a film that is going to play in art houses for 9 people. I don't think it's going to be seen in Yellowknife, Canada.
No.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to really look for it in, you know, Wales or wherever you might be. It's called Fading Gigolo.
Yeah.
Un film de John Turturro, written and directed by John Turturro.
John Turturro.
But co-starring Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think Woody Allen, as I said in my review, I don't think Woody Allen stars in a lot of other people's movies.
He's done it a few times.
Because everybody just assumes it's a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
And this one seems exactly like a Woody Allen movie.
Right. It, even the premise makes me...
It seems like a premise that Woody would have rejected years ago. You're eating another peep.
Yeah, I am.
So gross.
Go ahead.
Look, the premise is John Turturro, as you may remember him as the character actor from such films as Do the Right Thing and Transformers and every other movie where he's been a character actor for his entire career, Barton Fink.
Well, he's in a lot of Coen Brothers stuff, okay. And yeah.
The premise is that Woody Allen's got a bookstore. He's got to close because nobody buys rare books anymore. And John Turturro needs to make money to help his friend out. Mm-hmm. And he's a florist, and I think he worked at the book, whatever. So the brilliant idea, these two fucking scamps, Woody's 78 years old, John Turturro, a youthful 57, right. Said, so Woody says, well, I know a podiatrist. Who wants to have a menage a trois? This is not 1973.
Yeah, it is. It does sound like a Woody Allen
that
premise.
That might have
been
a shocking premise
right.
When Mary Hartman was on TV. But it's now 2014.
And everything you always wanted to have sex but afraid to ask.
Exactly.
That would have been cutting edge.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
1962 would have been a crazy premise. I know a podiatrist wants to have a menage a trois.
Right.
I think we can charge her for it. The doctor turns out to be Sharon Stone.
Oh.
The girl...
She's the one that wants the menage a trois?
Yes.
Oh.
And she's willing to pay for the experience.
Come to Joel Radio. We'll give you a menage a trois.
She's willing to pay for the experience.
Come here, Sharon, spread them.
Joel, hold on.
I got him. We're going to do it right now.
Hold on. And Sharon Stone, who's like 49 and still fuckable.
Yeah.
Her friend... that she has lined up to be the third leg of this trio, is Sofia Vergara.
Oh.
And the premise that we...
Who needs to fuck the two of them?
As a audience that has presumably paid $12 and bought popcorn to watch this thing, are to believe is that the two... most fuckable women in the world are going to pay John Turturro to give them some dick. It is the stupidest goddamn premise I've ever seen in a movie. I couldn't hate it more. I wanted to rip the screen apart. I wanted to punch. If I ever am in a room with John Turturro, if I interview him for another project,
I got
to
see this
I will
now.
Take 10 minutes to tell him what a piece of shit this is. This is the dumbest goddamn premise I've ever heard in my life.
Is this
life.
Getting any reviews? I mean, I know
it
you
got
just
some... And this is what's crazy. Let me see what the goddamn reviews are in this piece of garbage.
Yeah, it's got to have some.
Godzilla's at 86%, by the way, and Amazing Spider-Man's at 53%. So you're right.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Make it good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I almost put in Fading Godzilla because I'm getting slappy here.
Yes.
Let's see what the reviews on Fading
That'll are. Be a later. Godzilla fucks Sofia Vergara. That's in the third one.
Okay, it's at a 54, which is being very generous.
Yeah.
Audiences gave it a 51.
Yeah, well, Woody's,
who
I mean,
liked...
that fucking, what was the Blue Jasmine was awful. And that was a movie people liked, you know, his fans.
Oh my God, okay, but about... how can you possibly, in any world, okay, and Woody knows he's old enough
know,
to not be, it's a movie full of, by the way, it's also filled with like jazz clubs and egg creams. And there's a whole.
Well, didn't Woody and wasn't he dating Julia Roberts in a movie like in the 90s?
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
there's a whole. Well, at least Woody's not the gigolo.
Yeah. Okay.
At least he found a younger guy who's 57.
You're right. They found
a
younger, uglier version.
An
of Woody.
Ugly, caved-in faced fucking wop. I don't know what the fuck this. This is the worst. I'm sorry. I
hated
this.
Did you have
movie.
To say wop?
I did.
I mean, after all the hateful.
I'm
things.
Sorry. It's paisan.
Of all the.
Look,
of all the things,
this fucking pizza slinging jabron. No one ever wanted to fuck John Turturro. Nobody. Yeah. He's a fine character actor, but there's no. He's never been. So he writes and directs a movie where he's like, "I'm gonna bang."
Well,
I'm gonna bang look, Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara. What a
and maybe
hockey.
He wrote
and then
the
there's
movie
a subplot
in the '90s.
There's
and then he wanted to bang Sharon Stone.
There's a subplot where Vanessa Paradis, who was Johnny Depp squeeze.
Yeah, she's hot, yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
She hit the fucking ugly tree and nailed every branch.
Well, Johnny fucked a good look.
Oh, he pounded it out.
He took a
big piece of masonite and slammed the pretty out of her.
Amber Heard's got about 2 years left if she's taking that fucking scary penis.
You could ride one of Ben Hur's chariots between the gaps in her goddamn teeth.
All right.
It's the worst piece of shit. I hate Fading Gigolo. I will fight it with all my heart. It's the all worst right. piece. Anyway.
I don't think you can top that review.
No, and
I think you should stop now.
Oh,
do you have one more?
I have another one. It's even worse.
Oh, come on.
You want a dumb premise?
How could that
that's
be
not,
worse
it's not
than
actually,
that?
It's not worse. But another premise that's... Okay.
Okay.
$1 million arm.
Yes.
From Disney Studios.
Yes.
I just want to say this. It is a better made film on every level than Fading Gigolo.
Okay.
Fading Gigolo is a wanky little half-hard middle-aged wank. It's like a bad jerk-off piece.
Yeah.
$1 million arm at least resembles a film. It's competently made. It's Craig Gillespie, who's the guy who's pretty hacky. But
is he like that sports? Is he like the guy who made Hero what was the movie about the hockey team?
Oh no, Miracle.
Miracle.
No,
Craig
Gillespie did the wonderful reboot of Footloose, the remake.
No, it's enough said. Enough credits.
His notable films include Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, and Fright Night. Excuse me. That's
no, that Fright Night was awful.
Fright Night. Mr. Woodcock.
The night I paid to watch that was my Fright Night.
Not exactly a great
not a great resume.
He's got
so
a documentary
far.
About Greg Allman coming out. But anyway.
Yeah. All right, I'll watch.
All right.
But until then.
It is by no means worse than Fading Gigolo, but here's the premise.
Yeah.
It's based on a true story, Joel. Well, so it's gotta be good.
It's gotta be
and
good.
Here's the true story. This out of work agent, and by the way, I want you to look up. Do you have a tab open?
I can get one.
Why don't you?
I was going to say Disney's made so much money off real stories in their life.
I know.
Like, God forbid Disney does a fantasy movie and someone enjoys that.
Well, okay. At least when you made Secretariat, Secretariat actually won the Triple Crown, right?
There's your tab.
All right. Put in the name J.B. Bernstein.
J.B. Bernstein.
All right. This is the real life guy that is being played by John Hamm.
There's
in this
a
movie.
Wikipedia for J.B.
Do you got an image of him?
Well,
pull up the images, though. There's got to be more than one.
That's John Turturro.
It's John Turturro, right? Who would play him? Go back.
He's a sports agent. He was Barry Bonds' agent.
Okay, pull up the collage of.
Do you want just like an image search for?
Pull
Jamie
up image
Bernstein?
Searches on him. Okay.
Yeah.
John Turturro could play him. Who else could play him?
Matt LeBlanc. Or
Adam
something.
Carolla.
Adam. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Sure. Yeah.
Who plays?
Well,
him
here's
in the movie?
Him with John Hamm.
Put him next to John Hamm. It's a goddamn Adonis standing next to a chisel-faced Jew.
It's the worst thing. It really, honestly, if you had to pick a guy, you would pick John Turturro, right?
I would not be John goddamn Hamm.
Or who's the pianist? Adrian Brody?
Much more believable, right?
No, you're right. Okay. Well, that's a movie. It's
what
a
bunch of shit.
It's a Hollywood
okay, but it, okay,
goddamn
so the
movie.
Story is that he was Barry Bonds' agent, which means he's got millions of dollars, right?
Sure.
If he's investing any kind of money properly, he's got to be okay.
Yeah.
The premise is all his old clients have retired.
Yeah.
And you know, Emmett Smith was his client.
Okay.
So he should be wealthy beyond his, you know, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, all my clients are retiring, so we can't afford to keep the lights on in this building. I'm like, so go sit in your fucking pile of Porsches and relax. And he's like, what do I do? He and Asif Manvi have an agency. They decide to. Asif Mandi's watching cricket, and John Hamm goes,
yeah.
Well, cricket, I bet somewhere there's a billion people in India. I bet one of them can throw a baseball.
Right.
So they decide to go to India to look for talent, and they turn it into a reality show.
Yeah, I've got all the real guys, by the way, that have come up on my searches.
And
so.
you remember Riku Singh's work in the? I mean, he was lights out in the major leagues, right?
No.
No.
He was, he's only 25 now. How old was he then?
I don't know.
I guess I have to see this movie.
No, you don't.
I don't. I mean, if I wanted to know more about this guy, I guess. I could either see the movie or just read the Wikipedia.
What I'm saying is, this is the faultiest premise.
It is. Well, yeah.
What is the point of this? Okay, so this movie is wrong-headed on every level.
Right.
The premise is, hey, brown people are wonderful, and it's an inspiring true story of how they get to come from their shithole village in Goa to come to America and eat pizza.
Yeah.
But the movie's not about them. Movie's about how the rich white guy finds his joy again.
Yeah.
It's so wrong-headed.
Well, and they always overstate how good the person was. I mean, even Rocky, like, even if Rocky 1 got it right, you know, doing the Chuck Wepner story, basically. You know, Rocky 2 was bullshit. You know what I mean? So they sort of they always exaggerate.
These guys didn't,
you know?
But this, to me, this movie stunk of Hollywood bullshit on an epic level. And everything about it is plastic and canned
and
phony.
Good.
Oh, John Hamm has to decide whether Lake Bell is fuckable or not. Like, that's his big dilemma.
Give me a second to think about it. Oh, yes.
Okay, you make an argument that Lake Bell is a bit of a butterface.
Sure, yeah.
But her body is a 10.
Yeah, Lake Bell.
Have you seen her body? It's absurd.
I can pull up some Lake Bell.
Yeah, pull up Lake Bell. Good God.
Yeah, I know.
She's maybe has the most...
I know what you mean about Lake Bell.
Okay, she's kind of in a Brooke Shields mode.
Right.
If there's in any universe, you wouldn't crawl through.
Like Lake Bell, just cover that.
Look at that body.
The body's a 9, the face is like a 5. But, you know.
It's a 6. Whatever.
It averages out.
She's still plenty hot.
I don't know, Corey.
I would crawl over fucking broken glass that was on fire to get a sniff of Lake Bell's panties.
Yeah, Lake Bell is.
Is there anything wrong with that? No,
the Lake Bell's.
But we
got to
sit there and go, I don't know. Can I bang Lake Bell? It's such a piece of crap. Hollywood, stop it. Just stop with your nonsense. This feel-good garbage. Just, you know what? You could have actually made an interesting movie about this topic.
Sure.
But they didn't. They made a phony movie. They made a movie they could have made in 1962. You know what I mean? Look at that.
Yeah, that's the cover of the new Esquire.
What's not to like there?
Not.
There you go. Right? God, I don't know if I could bother to fuck that. I don't know. That's so tough. I love when they make Jennifer Aniston seem like she's dumpy. I'm just like, Hollywood? Good God.
Yeah, Lake Bell. Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
What are you going to do?
Hollywood, this is the agony of my job. Hollywood makes this complete phony baloney garbage. This is a sports movie for people who hate sports.
Sure.
These kids, by the way, so they're like struggling. Look at that!
I know, I'm sorry. It's completely distracting.
Well, her body's fantastic.
I know.
The whole thing is they're like struggling to find kids because cricket is not the same as baseball.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a different motion. And they're like, well, none of these kids can break 75 on the gun. And the kids who they pick throw 85. You throw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball in the major leagues, you're out of there.
Right, right.
So these kids never made it over double-A ball.
Sure.
Right? One kid washed out, went back to India. The other one got hurt and won't play again until August. He's still kicking around the Pirates minor league system. What is this?
I'm trying to bring up some pictures that won't distract you.
Oh, God.
It's completely inside. All right, come on. That's completely inside. I'm ruining your review of...
That's something I don't want to be inside.
No, I know.
All right. Thank you for that.
All right, I know. I was just being funny.
I'm done with that movie.
Inside the room,
It's the biggest phony... Okay,
yeah.
That's a premise now?
Yeah.
That's a premise. These kids, we picked these kids from India and made a dog and pony show out of them, and they never made it over double-A ball. And they never will.
Yeah, well, hey.
And then first time there's an Indian kid in the MLB... Then make that movie.
You know, there will be one day. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's...
It's just not a really inspiring story.
It's
a lot of hokum.
You know what? The people that will like that movie will probably not be baseball fans. They will probably not give any two shits about...
Much like...
The reality of what really happened.
Much like CW is science fiction for girls, this is a sports movie.
Baseball for girls, yeah.
For girls.
Yeah.
You don't have to know anything.
Right.
In fact, you're better off not knowing.
The less you know.
Me, knowing something about how baseball operates, knows that you can't. And also, you can't just teach a kid the whole game.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the NFL. The goddamn Lions picked a guy who had just started playing football in college. IKEA Alama Francis.
Yes.
One of the worst draft picks we ever made. And they're like, well, he's raw talent.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Ziggy Ansah is the same deal.
Okay, but...
But he's...
Isn't
he worked out.
Isn't our tight end, didn't he only start playing football in college?
Exactly.
Our first round draft. But, you know, there's always these dreams about the guy on YouTube that can make the basketball shot that they give. You know, the kicker. Like, we had this Kickalicious guy in here. You know, they always have these guys who are, you know, if we just give this guy a shot.
Tony Niola got tryouts
with
teams.
All right. All right. What
enough
show.
With that crap. What enough with this show. Show. Enough with these shitty Doritos.
Enough.
I've
everything.
Had enough.
Will you take the Doritos home at least?
I will take them to the garbage. I don't, will. You? I don't want them.
All right. Here's what we're gonna do. Why don't we go feed those? Let's see if the birds will eat them.
You want
to? We'll
kill
do
a
it
bird?
On video. We'll put them. We'll take them to the backyard. We'll see if the squirrels and the birds. I'm serious about this.
You want the ASCP? PCA I want.
Well, we'll break them up. I mean, that's corn.
They shouldn't be, no,
it's corn. It's corn.
Birds shouldn't
it's corn.
Be that crap.
We'll make a video. We'll see if the birds and we'll see if even hungry squirrels and birds will turn down jacked flavored Doritos. Look, we have to innovate some kind of way, Corey.
Oh God.
What's our theme going to be? How can we have success with this podcast without a theme?
Why don't we rebrand ourselves as Cornbread and Grape Soda? And we'll just become America's greatest
beyond
black
Steve
podcaster.
Harvey. We'll be on.
Are black guys podcasting? I don't think so.
You know what? I haven't heard that. But
I'm sure there are black guys who podcast.
There are, but
it's not like a big thing, is it?
It's probably not a big thing in the community.
In the community.
In the community, yeah. But one day,
I mean, every black guy's got a production company,
sure.
And a single that's dropping,
yeah.
But I don't hear a lot of guys.
The Madea podcast will be a big hit whenever that happens. I'm sure.
Let me go. Hold on. Where's Steve Harvey's podcast? Because according to you,
there will be.
He's the
I'm
answer.
I'm just saying he can do a better job than the guys they're thinking of.
All right, enough.
I stand by that. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Stand by my Steve Harvey. It's not that he's good, it's just that he's different.
He's good and terrible.